విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ణు విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హృదయ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధారుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమ. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevi Gauravani Prajarini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Dharini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమే వహి శ్రీకృదోసి మయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నోయత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ. తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభీ తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుపేతమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపమదితిదీర్షదాంతమంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుపణిదాదృదానేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిన్న కణికాభికాభికాభి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణు మహీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వదాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే కులారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణం ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్ణిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నది కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారత మంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్య అంధం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Last Sunday, the concluding verses in the Ailagida, Pururava's song, we were talking about that. And Krishna mentioned there a specific thing, that is about Salsangam. He says, Bhaktim Labdhavada Sadho Kimanyada Vashishyade Mai Ananda Gune Brahmani Ananda Anubhavalmani. You will see that verse, 30th verse. That means that as much as we have become sensitive to the external surroundings, we will know the influence of the external world in us, how the external world is affecting us. We will become sensitive to that. Krishna is saying that it is for this reason that generally those who are in spiritual life, they live a regulated life for this reason. Because they know that the external world has a strong influence, only thing when they become sensitive to it. In course of time, they will become sensitive, and when they become sensitive, they know that the outside world can have a strong influence on us, and therefore they regulate their life. A regulation is required. So, just like in the temple also, you can see the deity is there, there is a deity room is there. Deity's room is surrounded by walls and protected everywhere, isn't it? And similarly, in order to maintain that shanti inside, the peace inside, the devotee also builds a wall around him. And that is required throughout life. It is necessary to have that wall, compound wall around him, not to get influenced unduly by the world outside. It is important. So Krishna is saying here, that one who has practiced this throughout life, that is the yoga process, that is the yoga system. Yoga system means that how do you sense the benefit of yoga process? Benefit of yoga process is you will know as time is advancing in life, you will become more and more peaceful inside. That is a symptom of the advancement of yoga process. One who is advancing in yoga system, he will know as time passes on, he will become more peaceful inside and shanti. And without anything that disturbs that shanti, he takes it out and throw it outside. He doesn't want to allow that to get inside, the round side. That means everything comes into a system or in an order. Everything comes into an order. That is why Hridam Satyam, it says, Hridam inside Satyam, outside is Hridam. Outside is Hridam, inside is Satyam. That is a system. Hridam means that we know that outside is not perfect. It is never going to be perfect. So therefore it is Hridam. Inside is Satyam. Truth is inside, that understanding. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you stay like that, you will develop bhakti. If you stay like this way, you will develop bhakti in the heart. So, where is that bhakti? That is what he is saying there. See that in the verse 30. Bhaktin lebdhavada samatho kimanyam avashishyade mai ananda gune brahmani ananda anubhavalpani. Brahmani ananda anubhavalpani. That bhakti is not like any other bhakti. It is anubhava surubam, ananda surubam and brahmam. Brahmani, Anandam, Anubhavam. Three things. That is the bhakti's definition. Krishna's way of presenting bhakti. Brahmani, Anandam, Anubhavalmani. Anubhavalmani. And in that way, that means Anubhavasurubam. It is an experience. He is experiencing it within. And it is blissful. And it is also Brahmani. Addressed to Brahmam. That, that Brahmam means that Brahman generally refers to the same qualities of the soul. Satya Chitta Anandam. Isn't it? Satya Chitta Anandam. So, Satchita Anandam, Brahman and Alma is one and the same. And with relationship with the Alma, he will develop a relationship called Bhava Bandham. Bhava Bandham means that inside that connection with the soul is getting slowly established. That means he will feel that there is a relationship with the awareness inside, rather than the world outside, rather than the ahankaram outside. So, bhavana balam, that power of bhavana, bhavam, inside, due to that, he will transcend that all the bhavams and come to the sadbhavam, which is known as Krishna, anubhavalmani, that establishing in the soul. So, that means through upasana, through sadhana bhakti, through that, he goes on going, continue. This is all the sadhana. Sadhana means that not allowing the world unnecessarily get inside and disturb the inside shanti, and the regulated lifestyle and the devotional processes like shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, mandanam, dasam, sakyam, all other things, practicing like that, eventually he goes inwards and gets situated in the self, sat, or in his swarupam, in his identity. That is what that word means. Mai ananda gune brahmani anandam anubhavatmani bhaktim labdhavata sadho kimanyad avashishyade. Mai ananda gune brahmani ananda anubhavatmani. So, anubhavam, that is what we have to understand why Krishna used those words. Anubhavam is the nature of the soul. Anubhavam, in experience level. Everything has to be experienced. It is not on an intellectual level, not on a mental level, but on an experience level, everything. Anubhavatmani. If it is not an experience level, it has no value in spiritual life. Some of the important secrets of spiritual life, Krishna is revealing one after the other in the next chapter also. Some of the secrets of the spiritual life, Krishna is revealing there. So, and the chit shakti, what flows from the self or from the atma, its swarupa means anubhavam. Anubhavam means experience. One has to experience it with inside. And that is unlimited, Krishna says. And he will, this person who is practicing spiritual life or bhakti in that way, he will go and establish himself in the chit shakti, and once he has situated there, then he is not disturbed anymore from the influences from outside. That is what he will, Krishna mentions in the next verse also. Yatho ubhashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamopyedi sadhun samsevadastatha. So, once a person is situated in that state, then just like when the fire is burning, who sits next to the fire, he does not feel the cold, he does not feel the darkness, he does not feel any fear anymore. He does not feel any fear anymore. All these things go away. Similarly, one who has known the tattvam, one who has experienced the tattvam inside, afterwards, ignorance will not get inside anymore. There is no more possibility of that ajnanam, tamogunam getting inside. There is no possibility. Because when you are situated on the platform of the soul, ignorance has no place there. Ignorance cannot get inside. That is what Krishna used, that particular example. Right? Just like sun does not know what darkness means. Is it not? Sun doesn't know what darkness means. Similarly, the soul does not know what ignorance means. You see? Soul does not know what ignorance means. Now we say we are ignorant, isn't it? Ajnanat mirandasi, we are chanting all the verses. Because of the identification with the body. Body knows what is ignorance. Soul doesn't know what is ignorance. Just like the sun does not know what is that, what darkness means. It doesn't know. Similarly, ignorance has no place in the soul. Ignorance has no place in the soul. And similarly, external things will not cause any fear in his mind anymore. Because he is experienced level, he is experiencing the characteristics of the soul, not the body. Therefore, the external things are not giving any fear to him anymore. If you come to that state, then you are free. Then you are free. So, till that experience comes and that realization comes, up to that point, Krishna says, take the shelter of the sadhus. Take the shelter of those who have taken shelter of Krishna. Take their shelter. So, when Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, in this material world, material existence, you are coming up and going in, coming up and going down all the time, isn't it? Like in the ocean, when you are coming up and then go inside the water, coming up again and going inside. Similarly, in the miseries of material existence, we are also up and down all the time. Up and down all the time. So, and for those who are going up and down in this way, Uddhava, he says, that this association with sadhus and satsangam is the greatest shelter, is the only boat for them to save themselves. So therefore, always taking the shelter of sadhu sangam, satsangam, and just like how food is required for the living entities, and how people, when they are in distress, they take Krishna shelter, and just like those who are leaving the body, for them how dharmam, or that means the execution of spiritual life in this world is their wealth, what you carry with you when you leave the world, not the other wealth. Dharmam, what you have done in this world, that dharmam is the wealth to be carried with the death when you leave the body. So similarly, Krishna says, in spiritual life, sadhu sangam or satsangam is very important. He gave the examples there. Annam hi praninam prana, arthanam sharanam tvaham, dharmo vitamranam pretya, sandor vagvibhyadoranam. Annam hi praninam prana. Just like when you have a material body, you require food. Food is required for the sake of the pranam. Similarly, arthanam sharanam tvaham, that those who are suffering in this material existence, Krishna is the shelter. And dharmo vittam ranam pretya, that material, spiritual dharmam, religious principles, what you have followed here, that is your wealth when you leave this world. And similarly, sando vag vibhyadavaranam, that when you are in this ocean of material life, a shelter for those who are going up and down in this world, for them the shelter is sadhu sangam, Krishna says. And sadhus or satsangam, what it does is that it talks about the knowledge of the soul, almobadesham. It is spoken about that and opens up the eye inside of the message of the soul. And that's what he is saying here. Devada, Vandhava, Sandaha, Sanda, Almaha, Mevacha. Then Krishna says to Uddhava, that for them, those who are looking for that shelter, they are the devotees, they are the Devadas. And the devotees are their relatives. And Uddhava, therefore, they shake the shelter of sadhu sangam, satsangam. In this way, Krishna finishes that chapter. So, those verses, Ailagidam, after reading that experience of Pruravas, the conclusion or the comments after that, Krishna, what he spoke, what he had to say about Ailagidam. What Pruravas was, Krishna quotes Pruravas first. And then what Pruravas had to say about Ailagidam, Krishna puts it in his own words to us. That is those verses. That's why they are very important verses. Yathovashrayamanasya bhagavandam vibhavasam shidam bhayam tamopyedi sadhun samsevadastadha nimajyam unmajadam ghori bhavabdhu panamayanam sando brahmavida shanta naobdradevapsam ajadam annam hi praninam pranam arthanam sharanam toham dharmo vittam vranam praitya sandor vag vibhedo aranam sando dishandi chakshumshi bahirarka samuthidaha devada bandhava sanda sanda malpaham evacha vaidasena sadopyeva urvasya logan spriha mukta sango mahimedam alma ramaschacharaha. Saying that Krishna finished that Ailagidam there. And after that, next chapter is 27th chapter, which is Kriya Yogam. Kriya Yogam. Kriya Yogam generally refers to the process of deity worship based on the Vaishnava system, Vaishnava traditions. That is what is spoken there. And then Krishna says to the 28th chapter. 28th chapter, he says, Uddhava, when this issue came up, Uddhava says to Krishna that this is a secret of the spiritual life. You can understand this, what Krishna is saying there. Uddhava also has got the same problem, like we all have. He says to him that mind has got a big problem. What was that problem? That We all think about ourselves as individuals, isn't it? A person. We think about ourselves as an individual. I am a person. This is very deep-rooted inside us. So, because we are thinking as an individual ourselves, it's not unusual at all, others will come inside us in the form of a person. It is a very important thing to know these things, because when we are influenced by the world, how it is affected, the body is influencing us, the world is influencing us. Body influences us in this way. We are always thinking that we are this body, isn't it? And therefore we are an individual. Because we are thinking as an individual, we will think about others also as an individual. And they will get inside our mind. They will get inside our mind. Because of that, we require the absolute truth also has to be a person for us. Otherwise we can't relate. This is how it is. We are ourselves an individual. Everybody else is coming inside us as individual. Therefore, when the absolute truth also, Brahman, we have to have an individual to relate with. So, and we know very well that in order to absorb the spiritual life, to engage in spiritual activities, the main obstacles, that means while cultivating the inward-looking nature, in our inward journey, the main obstacle is this, the people from outside. They come inside and they create disturbances inside. So, not automatically you will think about others or somebody else and so many other people in this world. And it is impossible to completely block the entry of other individuals coming into this individual. We are individuals. We have convinced on that we are individuals because of the body. And we are looking at everybody else as individuals because of their body. And we expect that Brahman also to be an individual and friend of us. So everything that individualism is, this is Dvaitam. Dvaitam begins like this. And therefore, it is impossible to avoid or to block those others coming inside. So, you can see this. How deeply we are absorbed in our personality. Think about that. When we are having conversation with others, you can see there, most of the time we'll talk about ourselves, what we have done, the great jobs, deeds, what you have done in this world. And in almost all the conversation, the center of everything will be me. I will be the center, based on that. That's what it is. For example, in the languages also, you can see that there has to be a first person, a second person, a third person. It has to be there in that way, isn't it? Without that, you can't have a conversation. First person, second person, third person, it will be there. So, first person is me, second person who is very dear to me, and a third person, or either dear to me or who hates me a lot. That's the second person. First person, me. Second person, my close friend or my greatest enemy, one of them. And third person, one with whom I have no much connection. That is what Krishna said earlier, which is also Mitra, Shatru, Udasinen. Isn't it? Mitro, Shatru, Udasinen. So, these three things will keep coming inside because of this individual situation. You see, Aham Karta, Aham Bhokta. I am the doer, I am enjoyer. We want to get rid of that from inside, right? We all have that. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And material existence means that. This I am doer, I am enjoyer. Krishna doesn't have this. I am doer, I am enjoyer. Why is that? Why Krishna doesn't have I am doer, I am enjoyer? There is a reason behind it. Reason is this. That I am doer, I am enjoyer is because of this individuality. Krishna is concerned. Nobody exists in this creation except Krishna. So, therefore, I am doer doesn't exist in Krishna. Why does I am doer exist in me? Because there is somebody else. Therefore, I think I have done it. Or I am doing it. So I am doer, I am enjoyer is purely due to the existence of another person, another individual there. Therefore, we have all become individuals, and on an individual level, we start identifying with the body, and therefore I am doer, I am enjoyer existing. Krishna is concerned, there is only Krishna existing here. We are also Krishna's another expansions. We are not separate from Krishna from that point of view. Therefore, for Krishna doesn't have to feel like that. Krishna is not competing with anybody. He doesn't have any competition. Whereas we are in competition all the time. So therefore, I am doer and the I am enjoyer does not exist in Krishna. Krishna doesn't have that. Everything is happening inside Krishna. Krishna is present in everywhere, as he mentioned before, that he, except him, nothing else exists here, except Krishna. Only Krishna exists here. But because we have broken up from that, and we, in our consciousness, feel we are separate, we are individuals, therefore we have a problem, therefore I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, comes in automatically. So, that is why it says here, that as yusmat asmat tat sangaha, that means that these three things, which one? These three things will come and go all the time. These vikalpam, which one? Vikalpam due to the existence of me, you and he, she, awareness will always come there. So, in this one particular relationship is called vikalpam. So when these things come in, other individuals, when they come in, and they causes this problem inside, influencing we, the individual, then that is called vikalpam. And that vikalpam mentions in the Viveka Chudamani like this, tomahamiha vidiyam kalpana buddhi doshal prabhavadi paramatman anyabdwe nirvisheshe pravilasati samadhavasya sarvam vikalpo vilayanam ubagachel vastudas atma dhrithya. So it is 3, 5, 4. Tamahamidam adiyam kalpana buddhi doshal. In the language of the jnanis, all the realized soul, the jnani's language is called silence. They speak through silence. So, therefore, Vedantam is also called Mauna Bhasha or language of silence. That means, these three things, me, you and he or she, these three things don't exist in that, in their language. I am not there, he is not there, and somebody else, a third person is also not there. These three things. I'm not there, he or she not there, and a third person is also not there. So, a person who has come to that state, it's an important question what Uddhava has asked. Uddhava is saying that you have spoken about Brahmanandam, Anubhavam, Asurum and all. Uddhava says that, but the problem is this, that as soon as I absorb in the inquiry of the self inside, my problem is that people are coming in different forms, friends, enemies and different ones like that. So, jnani who is situated in the platform of the soul, when he is in that anubhuti, in that realized state, whatever he does in this world, vyavaharam in this world, it is called maunam. It is called silence, isn't it? And that is a perfect communication. Perfect communication. Perfect state of communication is like that. That means that if you observe or listen to the conversations of the great realized souls, you will not find that their way of communication is different than ours. When we talk about or having conversation with others, the hangaram inside will definitely come out in some form, our own hangaram. And in our conversation, other individuals also will come in. Either friend or enemy, no matter who it is. Friend and enemy will come in our conversation. Equally, we will also talk about a third person who is not connected with us anyway. So all our conversation will be centered around either about me or about the friend or enemy or about somebody with whom we have no relationship. But these three do exist in our communications, normal communications. In the realized soul, jnanis, who have properly situated in the platform of the soul, if you look at their conversation, you will see they will not bring these three in. They won't be there in the conversation. There won't be any issue at all. Nor will there be anything about a friend or enemy. They won't talk about anybody as a friend or an enemy. Nor will they bring others into it. Other, a third party into it. So Uddhava says to Krishna, how is that possible? How is that possible? So how is that possible? Without all these things, how can there be some communication? Krishna, Uddhava asks this question. He says, there is no one who is speaking, there is no one who is listening, and there is not another third person who is involved in that. Nothing there. So Uddhava says, how is that possible? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I will tell you how that is done. I'll tell you how that is done. I'll give you that, how to train up your, learn that language, he says to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, I will teach you that language. If possible, practice it. It will benefit you. And that is how 28th chapter begins. Parasvabhava karmani Shri Bhagavanu Vacha. Parasvabhava karmani naprashamsaya nagarhayat vishwamegalpagambashyan prakritya purushenaja. Parasvabhava karmani naprashamsaya nandadi. Yeah. Parasvabhava karmani naprashamsaya nandadi vishwamegalpagambashyan prakritya purushenaja. Parasvabhava karmani yaprashamsaya nandadi sa ashuprashade swartal asatyamabhiniveshada. This is how Krishna begins that 28th chapter. You see that? See how Uddhava's question was? How Krishna gave one of the secrets of spiritual life. This is how we learn from the jnanis, what they have shown us in their life. And Krishna is taking it out. Krishna says, those who are in that state, this is how they will be. Learn from them. Learn from them, he says. So, that is how 28th chapter begins, isn't it? And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the most important instructions Krishna has given to those who have taken to spiritual life is this. These two verses. Parasubhava karmani, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Parasubhava karmani, naprashamse, nagrahaye, vishwamegalpagambashyan, prakritya purushenacha, Parasubhava karmani, yaprashamsade nindadi, sa ashubrashade swartal, asatyamahiniveshada. That is how that chapter has come in. You can see that why it has come about like that. Suddenly Krishna mentioned all these things, isn't it? So he says to him, Uddhava, if possible, that's all Krishna says always, if possible, bring it into your life, bring it into practice. And this is called sannyasam. This is called sannyasam in Krishna's words. This is sannyasam. So, so what all one has to perform sannyasam, Krishna has spoken before, is it not? He mentioned that in the 7th chapter itself. Tundu sarvam varitegya sneham sojanam bandushu maya avishyamana samadrik samyak samadrik vijara sogam. He mentioned before while starting this. So now Krishna is saying here what all we have to. Sannyasam means to give up. Tyagam. Tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, 18th chapter. Tyagam, Krishna says, what does sannyasa means? Tyagam, sacrificing for others. Tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. Krishna began that, isn't it? So, parasvabhava karmani, first thing Krishna says, that never to talk about the svabhavam or karmam about others. Others, svabhavam and karmam, one should not even discuss that. You don't have to glorify that, or you don't have to speak ill of that. Others, this is for one's own spiritual benefit, Krishna is saying. If you can bring it into life, that's up to you, Krishna says. Whether it's possible or not, that's up to the individual. But important thing is that another person's svabhavam, his nature. We have got two things, surubham and svabhavam. In Swarupam, we are all same, spiritual, Atma. But in Swabhavam, we are all different. Is it not? In Swarupam, we are all same. In Swabhavam, we are all different. Everybody is different. So therefore, Krishna is saying, Swabhavam is concerned. And due to Swabhavam, the karmam will also be according to the Swabhavam. He will engage in a karmam also. So Swabhavam and karmam is like that. That is why Krishna picked up those two. Swabhavam and karmam. Paraswabhava karmani. Na prashamsayet, na grahayet. It should never be prashamsa. Prashamsa means not to glorify that. Or na grahayet. Not to criticize it. Not to in an insulting way talk about that. Na prashamsayet, na grahayet. Because why is it like that? As soon as you say or glorify somebody's work, prashamsa or garhayan, if you do like that, immediately that means what? That means you have recognized that somebody else existing. You see? You're already accepting that then, that some another person is existing. Krishna is saying nobody else is existing here. Only Krishna is here, nobody else. And our individual ego also is saying that we are existing, ahankaram. And similarly, we are recognizing all other individuals on their body. This is pure in the Vedantam, ahankaram, free from all the ahankaram, purely situated in the Advaita state. Krishna is saying this, purely from the platform of Advaitam. It is spoken that as long as you are talking about somebody and glorifying his activities, that means you have recognized straight away inside yourself that somebody else is existing. Where Krishna has said before, there's not everybody existing here, it's only Krishna existing here. So, and that concept that somebody else is existing is a great disturbance for your own samadhi state inside. If you want to experience all that, if you want to experience that particular state of samadhi state, Krishna says, if you keep on recognizing the existence of so many other individuals in this world, they will all come inside and they will agitate the mind. So, because it will disturb your samadhi state, yogis know this very well. The yogis know this very well. And the main disturbance that comes to their samadhi state is only when somebody gets inside. When somebody gets inside. So, therefore, when a person comes in, what does happen then? Once he gets in, he creates emotions inside us, isn't it? If another person comes in, we will say either we like him, or we don't like him, or we hate him, or some kind of emotional outbursts will come from inside. And all emotions will cause problems, because just like you can see, when you have some lust or greed or any such thing happens inside, then at that time there will be a person behind that. Equally, you can see when you get angry or when your competition comes, envy comes, or any of those emotions, once they come in, you can see that your own ahankaram or self becomes very strong inside. Very strong inside. Is it not? That you have to observe yourself, that when any of the strong emotions comes inside, you can notice this thing, that there is a person outside behind that which is causing this disturbance inside. All disturbances are because there is a person outside. There's a person outside. That's what will cause that situation inside. So when any emotion, that is why Krishna is saying this. Why did he say this? Parasubhava karmani na prashamsayan na grahayet. Because the moment you do this, glorify somebody, or you grahayet, you are criticizing somebody for any reason, that means inside you another person has come in. That's what it means. Another person has come in. Yes, you have allowed him to get inside. That is why you are talking about him. And Krishna goes on for about 10-12 verses very strongly about this. So we can't say anything about it. It is not nobody, I can say anything about it, because it's coming from the truth itself. And once we have accepted this, then it makes a lot easier. But if we question all these things, if we start questioning, then we have no hope in spiritual life. That's all I can say. That's how it is. It is based on these principles Vedanta has been spoken. All Vedanta philosophy is all based on this. Krishna has made it more as a instructions to Uddhava. On a way it is spoken is, it's the same Upanishad's message spoken on individuals one to another in that way. But Krishna is saying to Uddhava, you have mentioned to me this problem of people coming inside and disturbing your samadhi state. Krishna says that, always notice this, he said, if you have any emotions coming in, either anger, hate, or lust, or greed, or envy, or pride, or competition, malsanyam, or whatever it may be, different kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madham, malsanyam. All these things, when it's developing inside, you can observe that behind that there will be a person who has come in. And once it has come in, that means you have more or less recognized the existence of another person separately from you. Those who don't have that will be like Sukadeva Goswami. Remember? What did they say about Sukadeva Goswami? Sarvabhuta Hridayam. Sukadeva Goswami is in everybody. He is in us as well. In everybody he is present. He is in that state. Never thinking himself, I am Sukadeva Goswami. He is there. Vritti Sarupyam Idaratra, he says. Vritti Sarupyam, that's the word he has used. Vritti Sarupyam. Vritti Sarupyam Idaratra. So, after saying Yoga Chittavritti Nirodham, then Patanjali says Chittavritti Nirodham is Yogam. And without stopping the chittavritti, thought waves, what will happen to him? Patanjali says that. Suppose chittavritti means thought waves. When the thought waves are coming, if he is not able to stop them, but he keeps coming, if that happens, chittavritti, nirodha means blocking the chittavritti, thought waves. If his yoga means blocking the thought waves not coming inside. But if he cannot do that, then what will happen is, that is why it's saying here, Vritya Sarupyam Idaratra. Vritya Sarupyam Idaratra. That means Vritya Sarupyam. Vritya Sarupyam means that you can see one thing, our ahankaram, what it does? It goes and identifies with different things, isn't it? Like it identifies with the body sometimes. Sometimes it identifies with the mind more than the body. Have you thought like that? That sometimes it's identifying with the body. Oh, I'm getting hurt, the body is giving me pain and everything. But that means you're identifying with the body at that time. Your ahankaram is going and identifying with the body. Then, suppose you have been insulted or offended or praised or glorified, whatever. At that time you are feeling happiness inside. Where is that? In the mind. At that time, your ahankaram, where is it? It's going and identifying with the mind. That's where it's enjoying. Because it's identifying with the mind, at that time it's not identifying with the body. It's identifying with the mind. Oh, he has insulted me. And who is in the... Where is it experienced? In the mind. Isn't it? So, ahankaram keeps shifting its identification from one to another. From body to mind. And when it goes and identifies with the mind, it doesn't identify with the mind particularly. What it identifies with, different emotions that's coming in the mind. Thought waves. That is called Vritti Sarupyam. Vritti Sarupyam means different thought waves itaratra. Patanjali says Vritti Sarupyam itaratra. That different vrittis, these are all vritti. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madham, matsaryam. These are all vritti. So different vrittis, when they are coming, we go and identify with them. That is called Vritti Sarupyam itaratra. So he identifies with some thought waves, and for example, if I want to think about you, then only then I need a vritti, isn't it? A thought wave I require if I want to think about somebody. I need a thought wave inside me about that person to think about. That means I have a thought wave inside. I have a thought wave inside. But have you noticed one thing? This is important. If I want to think about myself, I don't need a vritti. I don't know if you get that point. You see, if I want to think about somebody else, I need a thought wave. But about me, I don't need a thought wave. Because why? I am not thinking about me through the mind. I am in experiencing me all the time. Is it not? I'm always thinking I'm existing. So at that point, you don't need a thought wave in the mind. I don't think about myself in the mind. That is a wrong statement, actually. I am experiencing myself, who I am, isn't it? About me, when I'm thinking, I'm saying to others that I thought about this. I was thinking myself. Sometimes we say like that. You can't think about yourself. You can only think about others. About yourself, you're experiencing it all the time without even thinking about it. So, therefore, and if you are thinking about yourself in any way, then it is a vritti and then it is ahankaram. I don't know whether you are able to deliver this important things, because it's something which you have to quietly reflect yourself. That when you are able to talking about yourself, or you're thinking about yourself, suppose you're thinking about yourself, actually you don't have to think about yourself, because the moment you're thinking about yourself, that means your mind and intelligence is involved, that means ahankaram is present there. That means you are identifying with that thought wave called ahankaram, I am. Or just like you are accepting other persons as individuals and recognize them through a thought wave, similarly you are doing that to you also. But without all these things, in my pure state, there is no need for me to think about it like that. It is my pure consciousness, isn't it? So whether other persons have given me the due respect, or other person has insulted me, when these thoughts are coming, that means you are thinking about yourself through ahankaram. Ahankaram is coming in there. Ego comes in. But otherwise, you don't need ahankaram to know yourself. You are existing without ahankaram. Actually, these verses are quite difficult verses, because Krishna has packed into one or two verses everything he has to say to Uddhava. But if you really read through that, in the next few verses we'll see how you got to know this subtle side of it. The clarity must be there. Otherwise you won't enjoy reading Ekadasham. Ekadasham's beauty is this, that there is a lot of subtle things Krishna has spoken, that how in a very systematic way Krishna is wiping out that ahankaram from inside a person. That in order to wipe out the ahankaram from inside, we have to know what ahankaram means, isn't it? Ahankaram, there is ahankaram in one level is this proud and all. That's another thing. But this ahankaram in our normal life in this world, how the ahankaram we are experiencing, what Krishna is saying, to break away from that, your existence or awareness, that's not ahankaram. But when you are feeling, when you have a vavaharam in this world, and the vavaharam, how it is affecting you in the vavaharam. For example, somebody has praised you or somebody has criticized you heavily. At that time, what will happen? That's a different plane altogether. At that time, if you are thinking like that, did he praise me or did he offend me? If you are thinking like that, then you are not thinking anymore, you are not in the platform of the self. You are in the platform of ahankaram at that time. So, that is also a vikalpam. All other people bring vikalpam inside. You yourself are bringing vikalpam about you. from you, isn't it? But so in order to know about oneself, that means my existence, awareness. In order to know that, I don't need a vritti. Awareness or my existence, to know that, I don't need a thought wave. I don't need a thought wave. Chitta vritti is not required for that. To know my awareness. But only when I am experiencing any other emotions inside, like somebody has praised you or offended you or criticized you, whatever it may be, at that time, what's happening? You're identifying with ahangaram then, not ahambodham. It is ahangaram then, and it is through that ahangaram that you are dealing with that particular thought wave, chittavritti. And that is what Patanjali is saying there as vritti sarupyam itaratra, he says. And then there is a long explanation in Yoga Sutram that what that vrittis are. Vrittis are, he says, klishtam, aklishtam. There are two kinds of vrittis. It goes for a long, many verses, he says. Sutrams, he says, vrittaya, panjadaya, klishtam, aklishtam. Then what are they? When he is saying there, they are klishtam, aklishtam, total, and they are each five. 5 plus 5, total 10. Pramanam, vibhariyam, vikalpa, nidra, smriti. All those things are the five vrittis, he is saying there. Pramanam, vibhariyam, vikalpam, nidra, smriti. All this is in the Yoga Sutram. Patanjali goes on discussing that. So from this, what we have to understand is that to think about oneself, that to experience oneself, anubhava swarupam, in one's own experience level, awareness, you don't require a chitavritti, a thought wave. But if I have to think about others in any form, I require a thought wave. Thought wave is required. That's the first thing to know. To think about somebody else, I require a thought wave. About me, I don't need a thought wave. I don't need a thought wave. So, that is the underlying principle in these two verses. Why? That's how he begins this chapter. Krishna begins this chapter. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayet na grahayet vishwam evalmagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Then parasvabhava karmani ye prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. This whole explanation is this line. Swarthal asatyam abhiniveshata. That's all about. What we have spoken so far. And that is the same what Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutra. No different at all. Exactly the same thing. What Patanjali has spoken there. So, so first thing, we have to know what chittavritti means. Vritti sarupyam. Chittavritti nirodham. And this difference, that means if you have to talk about anybody in this world, there has to be a chittavritti. A thought wave must be there. Similarly, about yourself, yourself means as a spirit soul, you don't require a chittavritti. On the spiritual platform, you don't require a chittavritti. Why? Because spiritual platform, without chittavritti, you are experiencing it as Atma, as the self. Awareness is there. There you don't require, I don't have to think about it. I am existing. What do I have to think about it anymore? I am experiencing it all the time in the form of awareness. So I don't require any explanation to that. But if I have to identify with any emotions in this world that's been created by others or due to whatever reason, if any emotions builds up inside, kamam, krotham, loham, moham, madam, malsaryam, if any of them develops inside me, at that point,
I require chitavritti. Because I am not identifying with the awareness at that time, I am identifying with the ahangaram inside. Do you see that difference? So these are the reasons why Krishna is saying here, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet. Vishwam ekalmakam pashyan prakritya purushenaja. Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsade nindadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Very important verses, huh? That some of the secrets of spiritual life Krishna is talking about here. That without knowing all these things, it is difficult to understand what Krishna is trying to tell Uddhava, isn't it? So, so that's what it is. So, as soon as another person comes in, then thought wave is required. Thought wave is required. The idea behind it is that no thought wave should come inside. That's the goal behind it. Because if the thought waves comes in, Krishna says, you can take it, there is another person inside. Another person has got inside. So, parasabhava karmani na prashamsen na garhayed vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan, that is Krishna's point. Vishwam, in the creation, there is nothing existing here except Atma. That is Krishna's final opinion about it. Vishwam ekalpagam, ekalpagam it is. There is only one thing. Atma is not many. There is only one Atma, Brahmam, whichever way you want to address that, that alone exists here, nothing else exists here. Even Prakriti Purusha doesn't exist, Krishna says there. Is it not? So, and once you have accepted a Chittavritti inside, another person has come inside, that means you are in material existence. Material existence has come inside. That means material existence has come, which means ignorance has come. Which means your Shanti has gone. Shanti has gone. If you want to do anything else, you require Chittavritti. You require Chittavritti. For example, Chittavritti means you have to think about it, and then you have to do it. You have to think about it, then you have to put it into action. So, whereas in your situation in the self, situated in the self, awareness, there you don't require any of these things. You don't require any of these things. Vishrandi. So Krishna says to Uddhava that if it is possible, he says that parasubhava karmani, that other people's subhavam or karmam, you should never even talk about it one word. And we cannot live in this world without talking about others and other activities, isn't it? So now you see where the difficulty is. Krishna is saying that parasabhava karmani na prashamsaya na garhed. And we will find it very difficult. We will say, what shall we talk about then? How difficult it is, spiritual life, isn't it? So, something we need to talk about others. Otherwise, what's the fun in living here in this world? As they say, the gossiping world. Not only that, that's the same thing the society is also doing. What for this every hour on the hour news? What others are doing? And television, media, everything is for this purpose, is it not? How to increase the chittavritti inside rather than reducing it, taking it out. And ultimately, everybody will agree with what Krishna is saying. Why do I have to know what's going on in Australia or in somewhere else? What am I supposed to do with it after knowing about all that? Or in other planets for that matter? Or what's going on underneath the sea? What happens in the space? All these things. So, chittavritti, creating chittavritti is the business of the world. And yogi's process is to take out the chittavritti from inside. Two different worlds altogether. So, after saying that, Krishna says there, na prashamsaye na garhaye. Why? Because ya prashamsadi nandadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. One who does that, That means one who praises or glorifies somebody else's activity or criticizes somebody else's activity or insults that. Ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. That's the word Krishna has used. That very easily he goes away from spiritual life. His spiritual life is finished, he said. From Krishna's point of view, that person cannot continue in spiritual path. A person who is doing that cannot continue in spiritual path any more. So, that... then, in the spiritual life, not to interfere in somebody's life. Not to interfere in somebody's life. And not allow the mind to work on that field. So, that is what he is saying here. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi ya prashamsadi nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. So, anybody who praises others or criticizes others, he automatically gets distracted from his personal interest, from his spiritual interest. That is his personal interest, his spiritual interest. From there he gets displaced. He gets displaced. That means he goes away from the process of inquiring about the self. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Because the reason is, he has got abhinivesham in the asat. Everything else is asat here, isn't it? Everything else is asat. If you are attached to asat, asat means the non-existent. That is asat. Sat is the existent one. Remember? In the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, nasado vidyate bhavo namhavo vidyate sada ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. Tattvadarshi is always will go after the satya, not after the asatya. So, if you got attracted by asatya, which means abhiniveshada, abhinivesham, attraction for asatya, that means that has happened, abhinivesham for asatya has happened, that means you have fallen from spiritual platform. That means you got a fascination for the false thing. Fascination for the false thing. You have left the satya, and you got attracted by the, for the false thing, non-existent. Asatya means non-existence. So, because he got attracted to the asat, non-existence, then very easily, without any delay, he will fall from his yoga state, from his yoga position. He will fall from his yoga position. It's the same thing. Ramana Maharshi says exactly the same thing. In the book, Who Am I? If you read that little book, you will find the same thing spoken. Exactly these things are spoken from the Bhagavad. So therefore, Krishna is saying that if you start observing others, it will cause problems. If you start evaluating others, isn't it? So, another interesting thing is, suppose you want to become like somebody else in this world. If you want to become like someone else in this world, it will never happen. It will never happen. For example, sometimes people ask this question. What do they say? They say that, that I'm only talking good about others. What's harm? People ask this question. Okay, if you say that I shouldn't speak ill about others, fine, I understand. But if I talk good about others, what's harm? People ask this question. Is it not? Krishna says, no, you shouldn't speak good about others. It's a difficult thing sometimes to understand. Explains that. Krishna's point is, why do you glorify somebody else? Reason is that you want to become like that. Is it not? Inside in your subtle thoughts, you have a desire to become like that. But Krishna is saying, nobody can become like another person. Nobody can become like another person. Because one point is, Krishna is saying there, the reason for that, he will be like him and you will be like you, what you are. Because I am like as I am, Krishna has created each and every one of us in a very unique way. Each and every one of us in a very unique way Krishna has created. completely independent, and in a very unique way he has created us, and therefore why? In Krishna's creation, we all of us had to be, one should be different from the other. And you are trying to go against that and trying to say, I want to become like the other person. That will not happen. Because this Krishna's rule is like that. Krishna's created us like this. Each one of us as an individual is separate one from the other. And that is how he has created our existence, isn't it? We have a subtle body. Subtle body vasanas are different. Subtle or prarabdham is different. Vasanas are different, prarabdham is different. Even body itself is many ways, if you look, its name, fame, form, everything is different. And when nature is created like this, why do we feel that we have to become like somebody else? Krishna says, don't try that, it will not happen. It is not possible. It is not possible. Even you can see, even though physically they may look alike sometimes, twins born, they look very much similar, isn't it? But in activities, if you look and the way of thinking, they are different again. Why? Prarabdham. Prarabdham and the vasana inside is different. So the nature, material nature's way, is that it wants all of us separate, one different from the other. That's why we have been created. So if we try to become like somebody else, it will not happen. It will never happen. Krishna is saying that. Don't waste your time doing that. That's the point Krishna's making there. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, there's no point in glorifying anybody. He has been created like that, so leave him to themselves, to that, isn't it? He has got that job what he is doing there, and I've got this job what I'm doing here. Why do I have to worry about his work and his job? Why do he has to worry about my work and my job? So therefore, Krishna is saying, don't put your attention to somebody else's activity. These are all higher principles in spiritual life. If it is taken on board, it will help a lot. But if you don't understand this, whatever spiritual life we are supposed to be doing in this world is all mental concoction. Completely speculation, everything else. This is only the proper spiritual understanding. Outside this, whatever you are doing in this world, in the name of spirituality, is totally a mental speculation it is. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, Vedam, Upanishads also, mentions this. Everything, because it is like this, that every one of us are different, spiritual life is also individual. You can't put it together. It has no meaning. Trying to put thousands of people together and say we'll all go back together to Vaikuntham, it's not going to happen. It will never happen, because then it is against Meti Prakriti's law. Prakriti has put us like this, individually created each one of us in a particular body, with a particular subtle body and particular nature in us, particular prarabdham inside us. So every unit is individual. One unit will never be like the other unit. It will be so different. So, Shastram is saying to us that that because it is so personal and individual in that way, Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita, you remember? That paradharmo bhayavaha, he says. Paradharmo bhayavaha in the Bhagavad Gita. That others dharmam, I think it comes that Shrayan so dharmo vigunal paradharmal sarushtidal. I think that's where it comes. I don't know which chapter. So there you can see this. How paradharmam is damaging to us. Paradharmo bhayavaham. Others dharmam is frightening for us, because that will put your situation in an unbalanced state. You won't be in a balanced state. And if you try to imitate somebody else, thinking that, oh, he's doing like this, I should do the same thing, then if you try to do that, you will lose your balance in this world. So Krishna says, if you are engaging in your dharmam, what you are meant to do, if you do that dharmam, and if you die in that state, that is the best thing, rather than getting involved in somebody else's dharmam and trying to imitate somebody and trying to follow them in that way. That will never reach any perfection, he says. So, paradharmam bhayavaham. He says there, don't put your effort into somebody else's dharma. And Krishna says, that is the time when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, give importance to Swadharma, don't give importance to Paradharma. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunan, Paradharmal Sanushtiran, he says. So that means, all the time, Krishna is saying in these verses, that somebody else existing in this world, without any conscious of that existence, of others' existence, without even allowing them to come inside, always situated on the platform of the self, one should live in this world. This is the message. This is the message. Upanishad says, if you look into Ishopanishad, what does it say? It's exactly the same thing. There are two verses in the Ishopanishad, which often you will see quoted, 6 and 7. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyevanu pashyati sarva bhudeshu chalpanam tato na vijugupsate. The first one. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati. What Krishna is saying here, that's exactly what it is. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. Only Atma exists in all the living entities. So individuals don't exist, Atma exists. Sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tatona vijugupsade. And one who is seeing this, sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam, Atma which is within me is present in everybody else. The same Atma is present in everyone else. Sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsade. If he has that awareness inside, then he has no reason to hate anybody. He has no reason to hate anybody, to any other person or an object. If he knows well that it is him, like we talk about Sukadeva Goswami, isn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. That state. That if you are conscious of that, yastu sarvani bhudani almani eva anupashyati sarvabhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsade. Then if he is seeing like that, then jugupsa will not be there. Hate or uneasiness with another person existing will not be there in us. And when this is not there, when it becomes very, very gross level, we recognize the existence of... When you read these verses, then you can know how ignorant the leaders are. Isn't it? Declaring war on another person, fighting, killing... All this, where is it coming from? Because you tell these things to the politicians or the leaders, what will they understand? They'll say, oh, it's all not practical, they'll say. They have to fight, they have to kill. Otherwise they won't get sleep. So this is the answer. Krishna is saying one thing and they are doing something else. So you can see the problem that these principles, what Vedas, Upanishads are talking to us, nobody has an interest in that. They are busy with their own mind, putting the borders and everywhere and saying that this is ours and that's yours so many things to fight upon in this world. So, yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tatona vijugupsade. Krishna is saying there that everything, once you realize that Atma, present inside you, is present in everyone. Sarva Atman Evan Anubhashyati. Sarva Bhudeshu Chalpanam. He is seeing only himself in everybody else. He is only seeing himself in everybody. Sarva Bhudeshu Chalpanam. Tato na Vijugupsade. That person won't hate anybody in this world. There is nothing to hate because it's you who is present in another form somewhere else. That is, of course, Shukha Brahmashi's state. And in the next verse also, you see what they say. Seventh verse. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaiva bhud vijanata tatrako moha ka shokaha ekatvam anupashyate. He's saying there, yasmin sarvani bhudani, one who has come to this understanding that in all living entities, there is only Krishna who is present there. Atmaiva abhud vijanata. Atma is only existing in all living entities. Sarvani bhutani almeva bhut vijanada. One who knows, one who has realized this, tatra ko moha ka shokaha. For him, where is illusion? Where is lamentation? Where is illusion? Where is lamentation? And egatvam anivashyada. He is only seeing only that one thing everywhere, Atma. So that is the Ishomanishad's two verses confirming what Krishna is saying in the Ekadasham. Not at all different. Message is always the same. Nothing changes, isn't it? So, and when he is seeing like that, for that person he says, Jnani or a realized person, he sees everything on the platform of the soul, and there is no shogam nor moham, and egatvam anupashyati. That oneness he is recognizing everywhere. And where he sees the soul's presence, everything, and he doesn't hate anyone because of that. And because it is no seeing, does not see anything separate from the soul, and presence of that one soul in everyone. Therefore, he cannot experience any of the problems what we experience. Like what? Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. All the emotions what we experience will not happen to that person. Will not come to him. Because he is seeing only one everywhere. When there is dvandvam, when there is two, then these things will come. These things will get in. So, Krishna said these two verses to Uddhava on a practical level. He spoke to him these things. And there, Krishna used the word, remember that? Para. Para. He used the word para. Para means that, if you allow the, para means one outside. If you allow your mind to go into para, that then what will happen? He says that mind will go into asat. Mind will go into asat. But this word used here, para, Krishna is used in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? There you can see that. The word para there also, if you move away from your awareness or sata or awareness, or also called as chitta, sata, chitta or awareness, that is where you are experiencing the presence of the soul, alma, chit shakti, sata, para, all refers to the same thing. Anything if you leave this, from this, that platform, if you leave that and goes away, then it's all para. Everything else is para. That means body is para, mind is para, world is para, everybody else is para. Everything else is para. And that is why, so Krishna says, one who has realized this tattvam, for him, he sees his mind and body, in his own mind and body, as para. And he will try to, first of all, he will try to forget about everything else, all other para. Eventually, he forgets this para also, his own body and the mind as well. And finally, he forgets about his own body, the mind, the senses, everything. And he stays himself in the platform of the soul, Atma. So, because he is situated in the platform of the soul alone, for that person, everything else is para. And let it go anywhere, the mind, let it go to anywhere, and let it do anything, because that is not in our hands. The mind is not in our hands. And so, here, Krishna is saying here, that once he is situated in the platform of the self, in the soul, that field, that world inside, spiritual world, that is not in our control. That is in Krishna's control. That world inside is in Krishna's control. We are thinking, my body, my mind, everything, isn't it? And That's how we normally think. In our normal vyavaharam, we think like this. This is my body, my mind, like this. But when he has come to this platform of the soul, what does he think? He thinks this body is also belongs to Krishna. Body is also, mind is also belongs to Krishna. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita two things, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Remember in the 7th chapter. So, Krishna says here, I have got para prakriti and apara prakriti. Bhumi rabhanula vayu khamano buddhiryamicha ahangarediyame bhinna prakriti ashtada. Ashtada prakriti, five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. Together is called ashtada prakriti. That is, Bhumi rabhanula vayu khamano buddhiryamicha ahangarediyame bhinna prakriti ashtada. Abhareyam idasthanyam prakritim buddhime param vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho edam dharyate jagat. In the 7th chapter. So, abhara prakriti is there and the para prakriti is there. Para prakriti is there. So, bhumi, the five material elements, all of those things is abhara prakriti. Abhraprakriti. And mind, intelligence, false ego, five material elements, all of them. But the living force which is inside that, this package, which is inside this package, and that is, Krishna says, is my Parapragati. Parapragati is that, the living force inside. Everything else, mind, intelligence, false ego, five material elements, all of them is apara prakriti. Then the question comes, Krishna is saying like this, that about us, that's what he is saying, about us. Five material elements, intelligence, mind and false ego, all five material elements, when Krishna says five material elements, means his gross body. The gross body, mind, intelligence and false ego is apara prakriti, is Krishna's apara prakriti. Krishna says it's my apara prakriti. Then Krishna is saying, the living force inside that is my para prakriti. So if Krishna says, the living force is my para prakriti, and the five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego is my apara prakriti, then what are we then? That question comes. Is it not? It's an important question. Krishna says to us, that five material elements, which means the gross body, the mind, intelligence and false ego, that is my apara prakriti, Krishna's apara prakriti. And this living force inside, Atma, that is my para prakriti. If it is like that, both are Krishna's prakriti. One is Krishna's para prakriti, other one is Krishna's apara prakriti. If it is like that, then who are we? Who are we? That's the question, isn't it? Where do we belong to then? Where do we belong to? So, that means we really don't exist. We don't really don't exist. So, apara prakriti is Krishna. Para prakriti is also Krishna. Then, if except Krishna, what else existing here? That's the question. It is, you have to look at it from a very, very different level. When we are in the total bodily identity, all these things are difficult to understand. Unless you follow Krishna's words, word by word, and take it from where it's coming from. This is pure Upanishad's knowledge spoken to Uddhava. He says to him, that in the Bhagavatam it will say, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. He says, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. Maya is prakriti, and Mayavi, who is running this Maya, is Krishna. And when these two things join together, Maya and or Prakriti and Maheshwara, Krishna. So, Maya is also Krishna and Mayavi is also Krishna. Mayam tu Prakritim Vidhi, Mayinam tu Maheshwaram, isn't it? And when these two things are together, in reality, we have no existence. We have no existence. Actually, what it means is, it's only Krishna's there. We encroached into this body. and took control of this thing. And then walking around and saying, I've done this, I've done that, and I am this, I am that. Actually, from the Krishna's point of view, material body, mind, intelligence, everything is Aparaprakriti, that is Krishna's Aparaprakriti. Other one is Krishna's Prakriti, which one? Paraprakriti, which is the self inside, Atma, is Krishna's Prakriti, Paraprakriti. So those two, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, joined together, and somehow we came in the middle and took control of everything. So once this is realized, all this what Krishna has spoken, then he will lose his attachment to Aparaprakriti. He will lose his attachment to Aparaprakriti, and he will know everything in terms of the self, awareness. And for that person, at that stage, others don't exist. At that stage, others don't exist. And Krishna is saying there, then it is only in that level that you don't have to discuss about others or to think about others. Doesn't exist, because nothing exists here separately from the Atma. Upanishad says, Duri Bhudam Anyadarshanaha. Anyadarshanaha. So often in a highly advanced personalities, in their writings, in their conversations, if you observe this, you will see this, that there is in the talks with the Maharshi saying here, people ask, talk about others. Maharshi says, where is this others? He says, and is there another person existing? That is his answer. You are talking about somebody else. Maharshi says, does another person exist first of all? And is there another person or an object existing outside Atma? Outside Atma. So the more this realization becomes firm inside, to that extent you will be situated in the platform of knowledge. The more this awareness that others are not existing, we are not talking about it in a bad way. What we are saying is that others' existence in the form of the body is not real. What existing is real is Atma existing everywhere. And therefore, Duri Bhudam Anyadarshanaha, Upanishad says, that the more you remove this existence of others from inside, to that extent that you become established in the knowledge of the self. You become aware of who you are. Bhagavatam says, Duri Bhudam means that it's over, it's finished. Everything is discarded, thrown away. Anyadarshanam. Anyadarshanam means that something separately from the Atma, other things are existing. This thought. Separated from Atma, from the self, something else is existing. That will go away and only Atma will exist everywhere. Otherwise, everything else. If this realization has not happened, if this realization has not happened, to that person, Krishna is saying one important thing. Very important thing. He is saying there, that for such a person, he is in a dream state. Krishna is saying that everything outside Atma, what you are seeing here in this creation, everything, Krishna says, it's nothing but a dream or Maya. Dream or Maya. Look at the third verse. That is the third verse. Krishna is saying, Taijase Nidraya Panne Pindasto Nashta Chetanaha Mayam Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanartha Drik Puman. Taijase Nidraya Panne Pindasto Nashta Chetanaha Mayam Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanartha Drik Puman. That is that. So, as long as you are accepting the existence of so many things here, Krishna says that is also Maya, that you are accepting the existence of so many others. As far as Krishna is concerned, nothing existing here except Atma. Atma is the only thing that is here. And everything outside that, if you are thinking that something is existing, that means you are in Maya. You are in dreaming something. Taijase Nidraya Panne Pindasto Nashta Chetana.
And Maya Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanartha Drikpuman. Nanartha Drikpuman. Now, what does that mean? Taijasam. Taijasam means you see the Atma in the vacant state, in the vacant state in the Jagrat. He is called Vishwam. Why is called Vishwan? Vishwam means that his connection is with the world outside. Therefore, he is called Vishwam. When he goes into the dream state, the same Atma, the self, he is addressed as Taijasan. Why is he called Taijasan? Because he has left this world and he is experiencing that world of the mind. World of the mind. That means the person who is dreaming that time, who is dreaming at that time. For example, while gone to sleep in the night, you start dreaming, isn't it? So while sitting inside this body, in another plane, you are dreaming. In another plane. Because you can see when you are dreaming, this body is not there in any way. Body is away. But you are another world you are. Another mandalam they call it. Another mandalam, another plane. Another plane it is. You are operating in another plane. That mandalam is called Taijasa mandalam. That is your, it is a field of the mind and the self. Field of the mind and the self. So in that field, when you are in that dream state, you are seeing, experiencing all kinds of magic that goes on in that dream state. Isn't it? You even see death there in that dream state. And you are seeing so many things in that dream state. What all you are dreaming, you can't explain that. Why it has come? Things which has happened maybe 40, 50 years ago in your life, it has come now in the dream. Or certain things with which you don't feel any connection, it has appeared in the dream. Like the elephant has attacked you, or car has gone and crashed somewhere. Or something that was, you may or may not have experienced in this life or previous lives, that can all come in the dream. Dream state is an amazing state that is to talk about. Vidyaranya Swamiji talks about this in the Panchadashi in detail, all these things. Krishna is saying here that you are seeing so many things in that dream state. And at that time, what all you are seeing, you haven't got any control over that. And you also don't know where it is all coming from. You haven't got a clue where it's coming from, isn't it? And at that time, all you are doing is, you are seeing all these things and you don't know what to do about it. That is what that word is saying. Tadvat nanartha drik puman. Tadvat nanartha drik. Nanartha. Nanartha means this experience in that dream state, what you are seeing. Nanartha drik puman. And at that time, you are in a confused state practically. Is it not? Suppose you have not come out of the dream state. In that dream, you are seeing so many things. You don't know what you have to do. And all you are experiencing is this dream. And there is a bhramam at that time, a confusion inside. What am I supposed to do? But because you are not woken up, you are still in the dream. So that means the dream is continuing. And that state is called Tadvat Nanartha Drik Puman. Nanartha Drik Puman. So, that means Taijasa Mandalam. Atma, the self, when he is in that dream state, he is called Taijasan. When he is in the vacant state, he is called Vishwan. Vishwan, Taijasam, and then in the dreams, deep sleep state, when he goes into, he is called Prajnan. You will see this word Prajnan in the Bhagavatam very often, mentioned before. Gopis talks about Prajna state. So, Vishwan, Taijasan, Prajnan. In the three states, three identities for the same person. The same person, three identities. In the vacant state, Vishwam. In the dream state, Taijasan. In the deep sleep is called Prajnan. So, Taijasa Mandalam, or in the field of that Taijasam level, or in the dream state, that means it is your Sopna Mandalam, or the dreaming state. So, just like, suppose you are going to watch a cinema in the huge cinema theater. They switch off all the lights before the movie starts, isn't it? Then what is there? Only the light from the screen will be there. You can't see anything.
Everything is dark. You're looking at the screen and there's only the light from the screen that's coming, isn't it? So we have switched off everything. Body is switched off. All the senses are switched off. So at that time, inside this light starts. Which one? The dream. It's another life there, whole completely different from everything what was happening in the vacant state. It's just happening there. This is similar to that cinema thing. That is why in the Mundaka Upanishad it will say like this: Yada Supteshu Kamam Kamam Punisho Vinirmimanaha. That this Tejasan creates this. This is also the creation of the Tejasan inside. Tejasan creates that world. Like vacant state, who created? Vishwan created. Alma, in the vacant state, he creates this world for us. So that's what is called Vishwam. But in the Tejasa Mandalam, or in that dream level, dream state, he creates another world for us. That's called Tejasa Mandalam. And something that becomes active. So that is what he is saying there. Tejase Nidraya Banne Pindastho Nashta Chetana Mayam Prapno Dimrutyumva Tadvanmanarthadrakpuman. Tejase Nashtamabhane Nidrayavane Pindastho Nashta Chetana. Every word important. When Nidra comes, Tejase, at the Tejasa creates that state, Nidrayavane. What else happens? Pindastho Nashta Chetana. You are not conscious of anything. Is it not? Maya Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanarthadrak Puman. Maya Prapnodi, that Maya that you are experiencing in that Tejasan level, Tejasan state, that Maya is showing to you so many things in that dream. Even death. You feel you have been killed and then you are waking up later. Is it not? You have got into an accident or got killed, or somebody attacked you and killed you. All these things you can experience in that Tejasa Mandalam. In the Tejasa Mandalam. So, is that all real? When you wake up, you say, oh no, it's not real. It didn't happen. I didn't die last night. So, Tadvat Nanarthadrak Puman. Krishna is saying to us that one who has left the soul, his identification with the soul, and allowed his mind to go into the world, what he is seeing here is also like that. What he is seeing in the dream. Like in the dream, what you have seen so many things, you had no control over it, isn't it? Because Atma has created that plane for you in the dream state. And there you have gone and seen so many things and you are completely confused and left it. And then you woke up and came to this world. Krishna says that one who has left his mind allowed to go out, this is exactly what is happening to him, like what is happening in the dream state. Tejase Nidrayavane Pindastho Nashta Chetana Maya Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvat Nanarthadrak Puman. It's not much different. One who is in the dream state is not much different than the person who is in the vacant state and who has allowed his mind to wander around in this world is not different at all. That is Krishna's statement. Very important thing. You remember when Krishna says that unless the attention has gone inwards to the Atma, but all the time worrying about this world and thinking that the world is like this, world is like that. In Vedantam, world is not given any importance. Except that to understand this much, that this world has come in, is come exactly like the Tejasan. World is not important, the person who is seeing the world is important. This is where Vedantam is coming. Science is saying, person who is seeing is not important, world is important. This is where the difference is. Science is talking about the world, go on exploring, exploring, exploring. How far you will go exploring. Krishna is saying that this is another mandalam, mandalam of the Vishwam. Like the Tejasas mandalam is the dream state. This is the mandalam of the Vishwam, Vishwan. Vishwam Tejasam Prajnam, it will come in the 12th canto later. Talk about that. So these three different states, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, the soul takes into these three identities, Vishwan, Tejas and Prajnam. When we have come out of those three, And when you are moved into the fourth one, which is called the Turiya state, that is when you are properly situated in the self. So, Krishna is asking this question, Mayam prapnodi mrityum va tadvad nanartha druk puman. Krishna says, Mayam prapnodi mrityum va tadvad nanartha druk puman. That he is saying, mrityum va tadvad nanartha druk puman. This nanartham, which has happened to the person who has allowed his mind to go into the world and wander around here, what he is seeing there, what is the reality? Krishna is asking that question. And so, so many things. How can you explain all these things, what you are seeing outside? Krishna says like that. Just like you can't explain the dream. Similarly, can you explain the world outside? How is that possible to explain this world? Why it has come in this form? How do we explain that? He says, for example, if you perform sacrifices, the benefit, as they say, is that you get some pious results from that. Isn't it? Pious results from that. Suppose you have performed a sacrifice in the dream state. Suppose you have performed. Will there be any result from that? You will get any punyam from that? From that pious activity, what you have done, sacrifice what you have done in there. Say for example, or alternatively, that in the dream state, you lost a lot of money, say for example, hundreds of thousands of pounds, you lost somehow in the dream state. But when you woke up, have you really lost it? No, you haven't. So, similarly, in the dream state, you made a lot of mistakes. You made a lot of mistakes. And even if you commit a mistake in the dream state, nobody will come and tell you you did a mistake. Nobody will tell you that. Why? Krishna says, look at the next verse. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaitasya vastune kiyal va jyotidam tadanradam manasodhyatam evacha. That's the answer for that. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaitasya avastune kiyal va jyotidam tadanradam manaso dhyatameva cha. Kim badram kim abhadram va. Who is going to judge you in the dream state? You have done the right thing or a wrong thing. Or you are nobody will judge you based on that. You have lost money, you are not worried about it after you leave the dream state, isn't it? Or somebody praised you in the dream state. When you come out of the dream state, there is nobody there. You don't take it seriously. So, profit, loss, all these things, no meaning once you come out of the dream state. Is it not? Krishna's point is, kim badram kim abhadram va. In that dream, what is right and wrong? Dvaidasya avastuna kiyal. Dvaidam will always create this situation, whether in the dream state or in the vacant state. Vajodidam tad amrdam manasadhyatam evacha. Everything what you do with your mind, with your words, with your karma, whatever you do, Krishna says it's all nothing but a lie. Vajodidam tad anardam manasadhyatam evaja kim badram kim abhadram va. What is right and what is wrong here? What is auspicious here? What is not auspicious here? So, so Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, within this maya, kim badram kim abhadram va? What is right and what is good and what is bad here? What is bad here? All this has no meaning, he says. So, because it is on a relative plane, all these things, on a relative plane. We are saying like, oh, this is good and this is bad. So many things we are saying like this, he said. And so, this good and bad is completely on a mental platform. Completely on a mental platform. And suppose somebody is saying like this, that suppose he is doing something good to me in a material level, or something do bad to me in a material level, something does good or bad to me material level, I am making these statements, which one, this is good, this is bad, completely on a material level. For example, if you have done something here inside Maya, you will get a Nobel Prize. You may be given a Nobel Prize. Suppose you have done something wrong, they'll put you in the prison. Is it not? That's all how much Krishna says about this world. If you do something good, you will get a Nobel Prize. And if you do something bad, they'll put you into the prison. Does this mean anything? Krishna is asking. Why you make it such a big issue? This is Krishna's question. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam manasadhyatam evacha. Completely mental platform, all these things. It's nothing to do with the self inside, Atma inside. So both are same, Krishna says. Your Nobel Prize and your prison life, they are exactly the same. Not much difference, because he says, what is the difference? He is asking. Krishna is asking. Kim badram kim abadram va. Neither of them is able to touch the soul inside. Your Nobel Prize cannot touch the soul, nor your prison sentence is able to touch the soul. Neither of them has any impact on you. And vajodidam tad anurdam. It is not even touching the heart inside. You are talking with your mouth so many things about that. Uddhava, and with your mouth you are saying so many things. With your senses you are feeling, touching, sensing so many things with the five senses. And the mind, what it does is, it's imagining so many things. This is this world, Krishna says. With the mind you are imagining so many things. The senses are making contact with the sense objects and does various things. It sees so many things, hears so many things, smells so many things, touches so many things, tastes so many things. And that's one world of the world of the senses. And then the mind is imagining so many things and making certain conclusions from that. And none of them, which one? The words, the mind, or the senses? Not one of them is not in the field of the soul. Is not in the field of the soul. Therefore, it's all Maya. It's all Maya. That is Krishna's point. That kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya avastuna kiyal, vajodidam tad anurdam, manasadhyatam evacha. Everything what you are concocting with the mind, what you are concocting with the with your words, whatever your senses have reported and which you are talking about, that everything is within the jurisdiction of Maya, and therefore they are not in the platform of the soul, and therefore they have no meaning. Krishna is again establishing the importance of the soul. Nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the body or the mind. So if anybody gets a clarity of this, he has escaped from here. If one gets this clarity, what Krishna is saying here, then he has escaped from here. But because this clarity is not there in us, we get into trouble. That is the important thing. 2-3 verses is sufficient in the Bhagavatam. You don't need the whole 18,000 verses. 2 or 3 verses is sufficient. How truth can be spoken so straightforward and so precisely? Only thing to get that clarity inside. Parasubhava karmani. Krishna is saying, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. Vishwam egalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiveshadam. Tajase nidrayavani pindasto nashta chetana mayam prapnodi mutimva tadvat nanarthadrak puman. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam manasa dhyatam evacha. That's all. Message is given already. Whether to accept it or not, that is up to you, Uddhava. This is the fact. That's how Krishna puts it to Uddhava. Uddhava, if you can accept it, that is the reality. This is the reality. Either you accept it or not. That if one gets this clarity, these verses inside, and get that clarity inside, then he has escaped from here, from this world. From this world. That is the important point here. So, because here, whatever you are seeing outside and whatever you are seeing inside your mind, what you are feeling inside your mind, the thoughts in other words, neither what the senses are bringing from outside nor what the mind is jumping into its own conclusions, both of them are false. That's the point. What the mind is dictating from inside in different ways is not. Mind tells us sometimes after hearing all this, we'll go home and think, that man, I'm going to teach him a lesson because he has done this to me. That means the clarity hasn't come. If we fall again, that's immediately we're gone, finished. Spiritual life is over. That's what Krishna is saying. That if this clarity comes inside, then that person is out of this material world. Finished for him. Material life is over. And that is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava, come to that state. Otherwise there is no hope. Pindastho nashtas kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajoditam tadanurdam manaso dhyatam evacha. So like this, Krishna continues with this whole thing in the Ekadasham. Particularly this 28th chapter is, they say that it is just like the juice of the sugar cane. How you take it out? Similarly, Krishna has taken the juice out of the Upanishads and put it in these 10-12 verses, what he had to say. So, what you see outside, because what you see outside is the senses. The senses are giving us the experience of this world. Is it not? That has no meaning. And then the effect of all that inside the mind, what we experience, neither that has any meaning, Krishna says. Both of them are false. The world of the senses is false. World of the mind is also false. The only world is the world of the soul. That is the point Krishna is driving at. He is saying that. So, but these two things, the world of the senses and the world of the mind, these two are functioning due to another world which is behind it, which is called the Chit Shakti. Which is called the Chit Shakti. And that alone is the truth, Krishna says. That Chit is the truth. Chit Shakti is the truth. And one who knows that Chit, that person, till you know that Chit inside, everything else is like a television show. The mind is a television going on inside. This is another television going on outside. That's all. There's nothing different than that. Krishna says, so many things are happening outside. How can you explain all these things? But what's happening, based on what's happening outside, we are making certain comments on that. This should have happened like this, this should have happened like that. Krishna feels sorry for the human population. The way we are making our own judgments about things. We say this is right and this is wrong. Krishna has taken this all the time, isn't it? Even before he said guna dosha drishir dosham. Gunam dosham, he spoke about a lot of things before in another chapter. And finally what did he say? To think this is good and this is bad itself is bad, he said. Not to think this is good and this is bad is good, he said. Remember that? Gunadosham, gunadosha, drashir dosham. To think this is good and this is bad, because this is all on the mental platform. Everything is based on the mind. So, another point is, Krishna says, you're seeing so many things outside, that television also show is also false, and whatever you're seeing inside in your mind, neither of them are important. Just like you are seeing so many things outside, similarly inside also you are seeing so many things inside. Outside you are doing the deity worship with the flowers. In deity worship you can also do in the dream state also. So apparently if you do deity worship for a long period of time outside, then it will come into your dreams and you will start doing deity worship in the dream also. You will start doing the deity worship. So that's why, because of the strong connection with the mind and the senses. Mind and the senses. And mind is in its gross form is the senses. Mind in its gross form is the senses. And mind, senses in its subtle form is the mind. Senses in its subtle form is the mind. Mind in its gross form is the senses. And these two together, it's like a cinema projector. Cinema projector. And these two things together constantly is cheating the self inside. He gets cheated by that. That is why he mentions that. That's why he mentions like that. So we'll have a break now and then we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bomahadavagdi nirvamanam shreyakai davachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadanam sarvatna savanam varam vichayade shri krishna sangeeptanam namnamagari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpidane midasmarane nakala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva midrishamiha jani nanuragaha tranarabhi shuni chena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhaktirahai dugitvai Nandatanujagingaram padidamam vishame bhavam budau kribayatava padapangajastidaduli sadrasham vichindayam nayanam galadashudharayam udanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagar nijidam gadavabu kavannamagrahane bhavishadi yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govindavirahe name Ashlishava Padredam Pinashtumam Ammadam Karyoduam Yatatadava Vidada Dulam Peto Malpranatha Sunayevana Pera Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Paresabhava Karmani Naprasham Sameya Grahayet Vishomegal Magam Pashin Pragratya Purushenacham Paresabhava Karmani Yaprasham Sadinindadi Sashubrashade Swarthal Asatyam Vinivesadam Tajase Nidrayabane Pindasto Nashta Chaitana Vayam Prapno Dimurtim Va Tadvat Nanartha Drakpuman Kimbadram Kimabadram Va Dvaidasya Vastunakiel Vajoditam Tadamardam Manasa Dhyatame Vacham. So mind in its gross form is called senses, or senses in its subtle form is called mind. This is the way mind and senses to be understood. Mind in its gross form is called senses. Senses in its subtle form is called the mind. In the Maharshi will say this in the Sadarshanam, there is a verse. Shabdadi rupam bhuvanam samastam. Shabdadi sandindriya vritti bharsyam. Sandindriyanam manaso vashenyan. Manomayam tad bhuvanam vadama. Manomayam. Everything is mind. Manomayam tad bhuvanam vadama. That sound and form, the sound and the form, the smell, the touch, the taste, the five sensual experiences, these make up the world. All these things together is called the world. Is it not? From the Jnani's point of view, that these five things, which one? Sound, form, smell, touch and taste. Smell, touch and taste, sound and form. Our five senses, in other words. That's the world. That's what the world means. And upon these senses, Shabdadidendriya vritti bhasyam. Because these senses relate with the sense object, the vrittis comes from that. Activities comes from the that. And the senses can only operate in the presence of the mind. Is it not? Without the mind, the senses has no meaning. So that's why in mind's domain, it's a mind's domain, the senses are moving. All the senses interact with the mind all the time. So anything what is coming from the world outside, the senses are bringing in, it goes into the mind. Hence the world, therefore they say, the world is nothing but the mind. World is nothing but the mind. That's what Krishna also saying here. Vidhi maya manomayam. It is nothing but mayomayam. It is mayamayam. It is manomayam. He has spoken that in so many places the same thing. Maya and the mind, they are one and the same. They are not different. Why? Maya means three modes of material nature. And that is what is the mind means. The, you can remember that when this instruction started, that was in the 7th chapter. Remember? How did Krishna begin that? The 7th chapter. Where he mentions there that yadidam manas, the same thing what he is saying here, he has spoken then as well. But at that time, probably won't capture that properly. Yadidam manaso vacha, verse number is 7th one. That means 1177. Yadidam manaso vacha, chakshubhyam shravanadibi, va nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi, mayamayam manomayam. Vidhi mayam manomayam. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, then yadidam manaso vacha chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. He has already concerned. And then he also said the same thing there. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasak gunadosha bhag karmam agarma vikarmedi gunadosha diyo bhidaha. So the same thing is coming back again to the conclusion also. What he started with, he expanded on that. Now coming to the summarizing the whole thing again. He says that. That is what he is talking about. That all the shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Shabdam, sound, sparsham, touch, rupam, form, rasam is taste, and gandham is smell. So shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. This is what the senses means, isn't it? Senses means that. This is what the senses do. So, and that is all manomayam. Krishna says it is manomayam. So, in the mind, inside our mind, without the senses, in the dream state, you are doing all these things. What does that show? In the vacant state, senses and the mind is separate. Senses, we know separately, senses are bringing in. Senses are in touch with the sense objects. It comes in and the mind is churning it out, isn't it? In different ways, different emotions develops in the mind. When you go into the dream state, senses are not working. All our gross senses are not working. But mind is still able to do it, function that. To show to us that senses can work in the world, it can work in the dream state also. In the dream state also. So, that is why, there also, all that what you are experiencing in the vacant state, through the senses, is happening in the dream state. You are hearing in the dream state. You are seeing things in the dream state. Even though eyes are closed. Just to make us understand how subtle the whole thing is. Means the mind and the senses and the world, how it's working together. That it can open out everything, all the senses can open up and have a contact with the world and cheat us in the vacant state. All the senses can close and it can go into the dream state, again cheat us in the dream state. Both these states are cheating going on. That's what Krishna is saying. That there is nothing here going on. You can't take any of these things as real. Because none of them has anything to do with the self inside, the Atma inside. That is the important point there. He's saying here that this whole thing is manomayam. Because mind is the one that is active in the vacant state and which is active in the dream state as well. In the vacant state, in one way it is active, through the body and the senses. In the dream state also it is active on its own. Whether the bodies and senses are there or not, it doesn't matter. It is active in the dream state. And the same mind is active in the vacant state as well, even when the body and the senses are there. So in two different ways, mind is active in the vacant state as well as in the dream state. That's what he is saying, Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. It is Mayamayam, both are Maya and both are mental. Both are mental. So, why does Krishna say all these things to Uddhava? That's an important question. Isn't it? Why does Krishna say all these things? Because somehow or the other, Krishna is asking to Uddhava, somehow or the other, can you go beyond these two and get established in the self, proper self, your real identity? Is it possible? Krishna is asking Uddhava. Then there is some hope if you can do that. That is the reason why he is saying all these things about this world. As from Vedantam point of view, the world has no importance. The person who is seeing the world is important. And similarly, what you are experiencing in the dream also not important. The person who is dreaming is important. So, rishis, the sages, all their attention is there. Where? In the soul. Not what the mind is doing and what the dream state is doing, what the vacant state is doing. It has no importance for them as far as they are concerned. Which means, this attention, like, you can never see them. They have not shown any interest in the moon or the Mars. They were not interested in that. Their analysis looks more sensible than what we are going on doing in this world. Is it not? That instead of giving all the importance to things which are of no importance to at all, they never thought about moon and Mars like the way we are after. They say the attention has to be, this is all Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. Mayamayam Manomayam it is. Then unless you go beyond this Mayamayam and Manomayam, Krishna says there is not much hope in spiritual life. Unless you understand the soul inside. So the rishis, they didn't think and make plans how to go to Mars and come back, how to go to moon and come back, and all these big, they all consider themselves to be very intelligent people, aren't they? The so-called scientists. And this is not much different than the siddhis, what Krishna has spoken in the Aishwarya siddhis. Sometimes material nature allows you to have some fun with the creation, right? That is why the scientists are fallen into that trap. The material nature allows the scientists to have some fun with the material Maya. So they get victimized by that. They think that, oh, we have found out something. Nobody knew, we knew. This is their attitude. Maya says, yes, I'll let you know what you want to do. Waste your time like this, in this process. Is it not? So, like they were trying to find out the jiva in the tunnel in Austria and New Zealand and Switzerland, isn't it? The same thing here. Hadron Collider. The same ignorance working inside. Not knowing where it's all coming from. So, what we are looking for, can we find water in the moon? This is our biggest question now. If we can get some water in the moon, or if we can find some oil in the Mars, how nice it will be, and put a pipeline from there to United States. Because there it is all running out, the oil. So another source we can find there, how nice it will be. See, Rishi's brain didn't work in this way. They thought in a completely different way. They said, why waste time in all these things? The body is so temporary. It's going to be here for 50, 60, 70 years. It's gone. Then all your so-called research, what meaning has it got? So, So, you can see the fun in all these things when you look at the way the scientists are looking at and like the way the rishis were looking at it. It's such a vast difference in the way of thinking, isn't it? So, and the funny thing is, when we talk about going to Mars and the moon and other planets, people find it easy to understand. But when you tell them about going inwards to the Atma inside, they find it very hard. This is too difficult, he says. Mars and moon, which is millions of miles away, traveling there and getting there and establishing the our authority there, putting the flag there, somehow we have made it. But going inwards and looking at ourselves, who we are, that they find it very difficult. When we talk about all these things, they say, oh, we can't understand what Krishna is talking about. They're saying like that. When we talk about Ekadasha Skandam, they say it's too tough. This is this very hard. But you tell them about going to the moon, about the rockets, about the all the spaceships, and all the minute millions and millions of parts that is in that space rocket, manufacturing that. You tell them some people are so well versed in all that, studying this day and night, the magazines and the books and everything, and they know everything what has gone in that whole project, spaceship. And that they say it's not difficult to understand. But this is difficult for them. This is too difficult. What Krishna is saying is too difficult. It is talking about us, talking very much about ourselves, we can't understand. Talking about Mars and Moon, we can understand. This is how we are now. This is the situation we have ended up now. Anything that is outside, you see why it is so? The priority gone in the wrong way. Initially we put the priority on the wrong thing. Krishna is saying that without understanding this, who you are, and where are you? Who is that you are saying, I am, who is that person? Not knowing that, you are doing all this research work. For what? Where are you going to end up, isn't it? So our own awareness, existence, satta, self, that is what, that is difficult, they say. Very difficult. Very, very difficult, they say. Then you ask the question, what is easy for you then? If this is all difficult, then what is easy? They say, internet. They say, internet is easy, and that easy for us. We can go, Google, 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 everything Googled, and get from the Google. That is easy for us. This is difficult. This is what we are like. So from there you can understand where we are, isn't it? That's the way Krishna is seeing us. And you go and keep on banging this Google and bring so much garbage from that, whatever that is spoken in the Google, taking that as the absolute truth. Because it's Google. Google has said that, so it must be the truth. That's how our mind is. Our mind is working like that. Whatever that comes from the Google is truth. And whatever that comes from Krishna, we have a little doubt about it. So, and then we think that, oh, I've downloaded this from Google, I've uploaded this into the Google or YouTube and this, that and the other, I'm feeling happy about it, I've done that, I've Googled it, isn't it? So all that is easy for us, but Krishna is saying here, out of compassion, Krishna is saying to us, with so much compassion he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this whole thing is a magic. This whole thing is a magic, he is saying there. And very difficult to understand all these things, isn't it? So, when Krishna is asking this question, that so many kinds of thought waves are coming in the mind, all kinds of thoughts are coming into the mind, what meaning has it got? That's Krishna's question. How do you explain all this? You don't ask the question, why these thoughts have come to me? Everybody is getting different thoughts in the mind. We are not asking the question, why these thoughts are coming? Why these thoughts are coming? And he's asking, why are you taking all these thoughts so seriously? What comes in the mind? That is what he is saying there. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaitasya, avasvina kiyal, vajodidam, tad amrudam, manaso dhyatam evacha. Manaso dhyatam evacha. So, he is saying, just ignore the mind. Just ignore the mind. So, everything what you see in this world, not allow that to get inside, rather, abandon it. Abandon it. And, Krishna says to Uddhava, do you want to become a yogi? Do you want to become a yogi? I will tell you an easy way of getting there. Easier way, he says. I'll tell you that, he says like that. First thing, that give up everything what you are seeing outside. And then give up all the thought waves that's coming into the mind. Together, you sweep both the world and the thought waves.
that's coming in. Sweep both together and put it into the basket, waste paper basket. If you can do that, the inside mind is the waste paper basket inside. And outside, the municipality is coming and cleaning. The outside waste paper basket, the municipality is cleaning. Inside basket, you clean it yourself. Listen, together, add together the inside waste paper basket and the outside waste paper. The world is the outside waste paper basket, the whole world. Sweep that out and clean up the mind, and that means cleaning the inside waste paper basket inside there. So, that does not mean that you're completely ridiculing the whole thing. You're not ridiculing it. You're not ridiculing the world. You're not saying anything against the world. All you're saying, or you're not saying anything about the mind either. All you're saying, neither of you can help me in my realizing the truth. That's all it is. Not that you have any hate towards the world. There's no need to hate the world. There's no need to hate the mind either. All it is, the reality is that neither this world nor this mind is able to help you in your realization of the truth, of the self. So, because for us, what is important? Atma is important, the center. That center is more important. So, if the world is important, then you have a different shastram for that. Different science and a different shastram for the world. If world is important. But if the world is not important, then there is no point in studying this shastram, is it not? So, therefore Krishna is saying, if you want to go into that center inside, then you have to take it that all that what you are seeing is like a cinema on the screen. Cinema on the screen. So, practically you can see, when we say practical means, what is it? Sometimes we say practical. Tell me something practical, we say. Practical means what? Practical means that I should be able to experience that. Otherwise it's not practical, isn't it? So, on the practical point of view, all this is useless. All this is useless. The world is useless, the mind is useless, and even sadhana, upasana, what we are performing, for that purpose you can use the mind. Because that is a special role in spiritual life. For that purpose, you can use that. And then, but Krishna is saying one thing, when he is saying about that, he is saying, that is also abhadram. Which one? The mind. Is also abhadram. For upasana purpose, for sadhana, while performing sadhana and upasana, you need the mind. You can use the mind. But ultimately, that's also abhadram. That's also abhadram. Because the drishya prapancham, that means this world, manifested world outside, as well as the thought waves that is coming inside our mind, and different imaginations. Thoughts means thought waves, and with that different things we are imagining inside, isn't it? When the thought waves comes, none of them has any meaning. Krishna is saying, none of them has any meaning. It has nothing to do with the truth. That's what he is saying in the next verse. Look at the next verse. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tada mardam manasa dhyatam evacha. So, kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyat. Avastuna kiyal. He is saying there. Then something that is not real, what really doesn't exist. And then you are in that something which is not real, you are imposing this is good and this is bad. Is that not dvaidam? Krishna is asking. Is that not dvaidam? Already it has no reality as far as existence is concerned, right? As far as existence is concerned, this maya has no reality. And in that maya, you are absorbed. And you are saying this is good and this is bad. That's what that word. Dvaidasya avastune kiyal. Vajodidam kim badram kim abadram va. Dvaidasya avastune kiyal. He's saying here, then that which is not real, and in there, this dvaidam you have imposed, saying that this is good and this is bad.
Vajodidam Taranadam. And then you are talking about that through your mouth. Vajodidam Taranadam. And all that what you are talking about is also all lie. All not truth, in other words. First of all, it's Maya. And in this Maya, there is, you have created Dvaidam there. Saying that this is, moment you say something is good and something is bad, Dvaidam has come. Is it not? Dvaidam has come. Suppose you say somebody is good and somebody is bad, what does that mean? Dvaidam. You have fallen from the spiritual platform. You are not on the platform of the soul anymore. You are on the bodily level. Then sometimes you say, he is right and he is wrong. Or sometimes you say, he is beautiful, he is ugly. In different ways. One thing, Dvaidam, Dvandam is everywhere, in everything. So once you bring in Dvaidam inside, into the Maya, then you are talking about that through your words. Vajodidam. So is there any truth in that? Krishna is asking. Vajodidam tad anurdam. Whatever you are saying is all lie. It has no meaning. And whatever you are experiencing through the senses is also lie. It has no meaning. Manasa dhyatam evacha. And everything that after this thought waves that has come inside the mind and the different sankalpam, that is the different emotions and also different kinds of perceptions what you have inside is also a lie. It's also a lie. Uddhava, actually there is no truth in any of these things. In any of these things. That is why he says in the, how is that not a truth? That's what is the next verse. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asanno pyarthakarina evam deha deyo bhava yachandya amrtyudo bhayam. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asanno pyarthakarina evam deha deyo bhava yachandya amrtyudo bhayam. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asanno pyarthakarina. Krishna is saying here that that cinema, if you go into the cinema's hall, cinema is not real, isn't it? But that's the interesting thing. When you see the cinema, you some horror scenes in the cinema. Remember when we were young, that time there was this Dracula has come. We used to see that and used to get frightened seeing all the... It used to come in the dream also then, once you have seen that. That's what this is all about. That's what Krishna is saying. I don't think Krishna has seen Dracula, but Krishna is saying the things. Probably Bram Stoker, who made the movie, has got the idea from this. That you can create feeling in people. It need not be real. Nothing has to be real. But you can be frightened. You can feel different emotions, even though it's not real. Is it not? Even though it's not real. That's what he's saying here. Some people, they cry when they get frightened seeing the horror films. And nothing is there. They know it's on the screen. But inside there is, effect is there. The effect is inside. And then they, in the night when they go to bed after seeing that movie, they are saying, is it coming in the dream also? In the vacant state he was giving me enough trouble. And to see, get this, we go and pay the money and get the ticket and watch the movie. To get this experience to that. And then we come home. So normally what happens is, because when you are children, you take all this very seriously. You don't have that strength of mind or maturity inside to know that this is all not real, isn't it? So when you see all these kind of movies, horror movies, it will keep staying inside for some time. Even after seeing the movie, when you go walking home, you will look at and sometimes you think, suppose if you are walking through a very isolated road, in a very lonely place, alone, if you are walking, and this whole thing is inside you, then that's when you say, did I see that, what I saw in the movie? On the roadside, you were standing there. You get a false feeling like that, isn't it? The movie created that feeling inside, but when you were alone, it was dark, and suppose some white coat or something is hanging somewhere. You have heard that all the ghosts and all, they got a white cloth, white dress they have. So you start thinking, you start connecting. The mind connects that form with what you saw in the movie. And you start thinking, is that him who is standing there, whom I saw in the movie? Is that? So, and then if we are living in a village, this whole story will spread everywhere. All the villagers will talk about that. And because everybody would have gone and seen in the movie, in the village. In the villages it is like that. So, and the people will say that what we saw in the movie, he is now around in the village. He's wandering around in the village. And by now it has become real for the people in the village, isn't it? They'll say, oh, I've seen him here, I've seen him near the riverbank, I've seen him near the tank. And so when these things were happening in the old, in say about 50, 60 years ago, before all this sophisticated lifestyle what we have now, the only thing was, the film was the only thing to go and watch, isn't it? So that time there was no electricity, people didn't have much to do anything, agriculture was the main occupation. So only agriculture, that doesn't require so much time. You have plenty of time, so these films all came out. People used to go and watch these movies a lot. And they will say some stories they will build up around what they saw in the movie. So you can see how the actors and actresses in the movie, they start coming out from the screen and doing vyavaharam in the world with others, isn't it? So that is what this verse is saying. He's saying that asandopi arthakarina. See that word? Chaya pratyahoya basa asandopi arthakarina. What does that mean? Chaya pratyahoya basam. Chaya means your reflection. Chaya means your reflection. You can see now that with this mobile phone, so many things we feel more real to us now than before. Say, before this mobile phone came and all these way they are putting things on a mobile phone, we used to think about, say, America. America is thousands and thousands of miles away. We have not seen America. Little bit we have seen in the movie and all what they have shown, but never felt so real. But now, everything that's happening in America or what's happening in Europe, a lot of these things is in the mobile phone, snippets of that. Piece by piece by piece they put it in. If you keep on watching that, after a while, it has become a reality for you. You have become very much closer with the whole reality there. Although, distance-wise, nothing has changed. It is the same distance from Europe to America, from London to America. The distance remains the same. But impact on inside us has changed due to the various things, isn't it? So simply by this one instrument, mobile phone, how it has changed our perception within us. That is what Krishna is saying here. Asandopi arthakarinam. Asandopi arthakarinam means that certain things, if you keep on watching that for a long period of time, you will feel some closeness to it in some way. You will feel some closeness to it. So, and sometimes when you see that, it is frightening also. Certain things, what has happened there. So that is what Krishna calls it as Brahmam. That word, Brahmam. So similarly, when you see that on the mobile phone itself, some of the things what has happened, somebody out of curiosity, or they put it on the YouTube or put it on the Google or somewhere, and you start seeing on a regular basis that thing, you yourself feel the impact on you, how it has affected you. Is it not? No, that is why. And similarly, the sound also. Sometimes a very powerful sound, its reflection itself is capable of frightening us. Remember when this Concorde aircraft was flying, there was a news that the sheep used to have delivered the babies in Wales because of their sound. It had such a powerful sound. It does affect the animals in a particular way. It did have an effect on the human society as well. So nobody can deny that. So the sound as well as this vision of these two things, chaya pratyahaya basam, asandobi arthakarina, Krishna is saying like that the effect is real. Effect is real. And because that you can't deny. Like you saw the movie and the effect of the movie is on you. Is it not? Similarly, all these things, different gadgets, what it is having its effect on us, Krishna is saying there. Similarly, the dream is also like that, Krishna is saying, that suppose you had a very bad dream, even though it was a very bad, even it is a very bad dream, because it was a bad dream, you had the effect on that. Sometimes people cry in the dream, don't they? People cry in the dream. They get frightened in the dream and they cry. And sometimes, have you noticed, babies laugh. Have you seen, when they sleep, they laugh sometimes. And mothers will think, what are they laughing about? They're sleeping, but they're laughing. Why? They're dreaming. And in the dream, some funny thing has happened and the babies are laughing. And the mother is thinking, has something gone wrong with the baby? Somebody is sleeping and is laughing. So you can see how the dream affects all of us in one way or the other. And especially the effect of the dream is very prominent in some people, that it will have its very strong effect on us, isn't it? So there are people who got heart attack from that. They got heart attack because of the power of that dream they had. They got heart attack and they died. Sometimes cardiologist says like that. They had something. Why did they die in their sleep? Because something happened in the dream. It has hit them so hard, they died. Then, what is more interesting is that there were people who got a heart attack when they were watching a cricket match. The one who is playing in the field, he is not affected. And where else it happens except in India? The identification is so strong that they were building up about the players and the team so strongly in their head. And when the match started and their favorite batsman lost the wicket and gone, and they had a heart attack and they died. Man got a heart attack and they died. So what do you understand from that? And the batsman who was bowled out, he was not affected. He say he takes it in his normal stride. He said, it happens in cricket. What can I do? I lost it. What can I do? He's coolly walking back. But the one who is sitting in the stadium and watching the match, he is so affected, he got a heart attack by that. Asandobi arthakarina. That's what it means. Chaya pratyahaya bhasam. Asandobi arthakarina. In order to show to us how effective things can be, the medium, the gadgets, everything, to create the effect in you. Reality or not, that is another thing. It doesn't matter, real or not. Important thing is that the one who is observing, he gets a heart attack. The one who was bowled out, he was not having any heart attack. So what does that show? The person who is watching the match, he is identifying with the match more than the person who is playing the match. Is it not? Especially with reference to Tendulkar and all that, this has been happening all the time. So, so somebody is gone out and everybody is saying, oh, he's gone out. So, what is the point in living anymore in this world? He's gone. This is the state of affairs, isn't it? This is how serious we are. We can be serious about all those things, but not about Ekadashaskandam. Ekadashaskandam is why we can't understand. It's too complex, they say. So, so people suffer in this world due to identification. They suffer like this, isn't it? They suffer. Due to this, they have to suffer, isn't it? So, so the object need not be a truth for you to suffer. That's the indication. What Krishna is saying to us, you may be suffering in this world, whether it's real or not, if you are meant to suffer, you will suffer. Chaya pratyahaya basam asandobi arthakarinam. That's what that verse is saying. Asandobi arthakarinam, it is doing the damage to you. Whether it is true or not, that's another thing. It's not important. But it is affecting you, is it not? That's a fact that you can't deny. That is why when Puranams are written, you should never study Puranam like history. Or you should not go into research the Puranam. What is important about Puranam is, if the Puranam is creating bhakti in your heart, if the Puranam is helping you in your spiritual advancement, what is written in the material there is not important. That is why many things in the Bhagavadam, in the Ramayanam, Mahabharatam and all that, when you read that, you will not get any benefit if you study that with this mind, thinking that, oh, I will first do a research on Mahabharatam, or I'll do a research on the Bhagavadam, and make sure that I'll get the date and time when it happened, where it happened, and to whom it happened, how it happened. After getting all the details, I'll think about it. If that way, if you hear Bhagavadam, it will not help. You have to hear all the Puranam's nature is like that. Puranam is not meant for. Vedavyasa Maharshi's point is like that. Vedavyasa Maharshi is asking, when you hear the Puranam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and all these things, all the Vedic literature, what is it actually doing to you? What effect it has got on you? That's more important. If it is creating bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam inside, why do you worry about the material, what is written there, the stories of the kings? It is not possible to get to do research on Mahabharatam and all that. How can you do the research? For example, you take the 9th canto in the Bhagavatam. You are talking about things what has happened millions of years ago. How can you conduct research on that? How will you get any details of that? It all says is this king, his son this king, his son this king, son is this king, his son is this king. Like this, one king to another king to another king. And important events happened in the important kings is only spoken there. Otherwise, Shiva Brahmarshi says, if I have to say the whole thing, it will take Varsha Shadai Rabi, hundreds of years it will take to talk about it. He says like that in the Bhagavatam. So that is how the important thing. It is coming from this principle that Chaya Pratyahaya Bhasa Asandopi Arthakarinam. Asandopi Arthakarinam means that it may be asata, but it doesn't matter that it is having the reaction effect on you. It is having its effect on you. So, similarly, Krishna is saying, this body and this mind is not real. And it is a lie. It is not reality. But it is a false as well. But it will keep frightening you throughout life, this body. This body will frighten you throughout the life. And this mind will frighten you throughout the life, although neither of them are real. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asando pyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandyamrtyado bhayam. That is its job. This man has come to frighten me all the time. It is his job, and that's what it's doing. And we get trapped in that. Krishna said this many times in the Bhava. When he says that, if you look into the Egadasham, in so many places he will, Ko Anyartha, if you look at the 10th chapter, Ko Anyartha Sukhayatyenam, Kamo Vamrutirantike, Akhadan Niyamanasya, Vadyasyevana Tushtidaha. You are talking about Sukham Dukham in this world, Krishna says. Sukham Dukham, happiness, distress. That's what we are after. Sukham, Sukham, Sukham. You say, Ko Anyartha Sukhayatyenam, what is the meaning of your sukham? He says, Kamova Mrityurandige. Say, you have been condemned to death. You are going to be hung. Actually, we are also prisoners, isn't it? Only thing, the date we don't know, when we are going to be hung. Where is the difference between a prisoner who is going to be executed tomorrow morning? We are going to be executed after a few months, few years, or in a decade, or whatever it may be. But already it is decided that you are going to be hung. Is it not? It will come. Nobody can stop that. So Krishna's point is, how do you say that you are so happy in life when somebody else is getting hung? You are saying, oh, how sad it is, he's getting hung. Whereas you are going to supposed to be very happy about it. Akhadan niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida, Krishna is asking. That you are also in the same list and in the same queue. His turn has come, so he is getting hung today. And your turn is, you are on the same queue. You are going to be hung one day. Hanging means that it's not through the neck, through the nose, but another way. Kidney gone, liver gone, heart gone, this gone, that gone. One way or the other, you have to go. It's also another side of punishment, isn't it?
Akhatam niyamanasya. When you are getting it, vajya sevana tushtida. Why you are talking about others so much? Why you are not thinking this, that you are also in the same queue? It's not stupid, he's saying to us. Ko annar konnortha sugayatyenam kamo va mrityurandike akhatam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida. Where is the difference, he is saying? We are all ready for slaughter. And Uddhava asked that question. Uddhava asked him that, Uddhava's question was very interesting. Shuava kharam ajam. Shokharajavad, he is saying. Then, why these people are into enjoying like this in life so much, he says. Uddhava says to Krishna. That looking at them, Uddhava says this to Krishna. That when they take the goats to slaughterhouses, to the butcher, they put the rope on their neck and they'll be tying them where they're going to cut the throat, isn't it? So even goat is going there to get butchered. While going, it will see some grass on the way. So it will pull back to eat that grass. Little bit more grass if I can have before I get killed there. Is there any difference, Uddhava saying, between this human species and that goat? That's what he's asking there. What is the difference, he says? Goat is like that. This human species also, they're also ready for slaughter one day. But even this short time they have, they're making plans how to enjoy here. Where is the difference between the goat and this human species? This is Uddhava's question. Shuava kharam ajam. You will see that verse in the... Yeah, 13th chapter, 8th verse. Uddhava vidande martya prayena vishayan padama padam tadabhi bunjade Krishna talkatham shukharajavad. Where is the difference between the asses? Because animals are all like that. Shuava, kharam, ajam, goats, dogs, and all of them are like this. They will like to, as long as they can get something to eat, they will go after that. Even though they are going to be taken for slaughter, they will be looking for something to eat. And he says, Vidandi martya prayana vishayan paramapadam. The martya, the human body also, if he is like this, then tadabhi bunjade Krishna talkatham shokharajaval. That's an important question Uddhava has asked there, and Krishna has answered it in that way. That he is saying that Uddhava, there is no point in talking about that because that the nature of the body is like that. That's the problem with this body. It will keep frightening you all the time. Throughout life it will frighten you. There is no way you can say that you are fearless. Because this body's nature is that it has to frighten you. It's been put there for that purpose, isn't it? So you can see how that fear comes in us, isn't it? Suppose I'm sitting, if I get a little chest pain, gone. Class is finished, I'm going now. Go straight to, if possible, to GP or 999, whatever it is. So you can see how the body dictates from everything. Or, and suppose I get some pain in the stomach, and after a certain age you will start thinking, is that the liver? Or could be the kidney, is it? Don't know what it is. And then, and added to that, it's not so much here. You go to, nowadays in India, if you go, these doctors and their laboratories, everywhere this board, blood testing, kidney testing, urine testing, liver testing, this testing, X-ray, CT scan, MRI, everything board everywhere. And you are constantly seeing these boards everywhere. So you start thinking, have I got any of these things? Do I have to get tested? Automatically that's it. Because this is what you are seeing. You may or may not have it, but just by seeing that board everywhere. Because in India there is no restriction on putting the boards. Anybody wants to put a board, he puts it on. Everywhere.
Is it not? So there are, wherever there are doctors and the hospitals, you will find so many of their advertisement in these boards everywhere. Even in small towns, it has become like that. And some people, because they are observing this day and night, they finally decided, maybe I should get a flat near a hospital. Like some devotees say, they should get a flat in Vrindavan, so they can leave the body peacefully when they leave the world. Similarly, some people who have no interest in spiritual life, their ultimate destination is they need a flat close to the hospital. So that in case anything happens, that I can be there straight away. The fear, what it has created. That's what he said. Chaya pratyahvayabhasam asandopyarthakarinam. And evam dehadeyo bhava yachandyamrutyudo bhayam. The job of this whole thing called the body is to keep you frightened and remain frightened whole life. That's its business. No matter whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. Yavat sal asadandratvam tavat isharado bhayam. Krishna mentions that before. That this fear nature, in earlier chapter he mentions that. So, and because of the fear of death, that it is coming, it's coming, isn't it? So keeping this thing, fear from that. So, that there is a song by a famous poet, Gopalakrishna Bharati. He writes this, that this baggage, what it has created for us, the fear that has created for us. So, and because of this, fear for this, everything else, is it not? Identity card, passport, all other things. And we say that, I have to prove to the world I am not a terrorist. I have to prove to the world I am not a terrorist. So therefore, I need all these things. Identity card, everything, isn't it? So you can see the whole entire system is based on this fear. And with this fear, is there any benefit? That because you have the identity card and fear that you're going to find the terrorist? No, you will never find the terrorist. He will do his job, what he wants to do, anyway. Is it not? So altogether, you can see that it is these people, it is a terrorist who gets the passport first. Before everybody else, he gets it. And others have to wait. He manages to get it first. So that's what chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopyarthakarinam. We have to apply and get it. But for terrorist, the government will go and deliver it at home. He says, you can have it first, isn't it? So, sometimes it is very funny, these things, you know, that people, when they are advanced in age, say 75, 80, they know that any moment the end can come, they are very busy about getting their identity card. Or you will see this sometime, and they'll be standing in the queue, waiting for their turn to come. And you can start seeing that what a unfortunate situation this is. Even at that age, you have to go and stand in the queue to get the passport or identity card or whatever it is. Because it will appear as though when you go to the Yama Dharmaraja's planet, he's going to ask you for the passport, whether you got it or not. The way they are standing, so committed to the identity card or passport. So we are giving trouble to people with all these things at that age. We have to asking them for identity card and passport when they come, isn't it? So fear due to the body, fear due to this body that, not because the vastu is real. That's what Krishna is saying here. Body is not real, but he is capable of creating fear inside. That's an important principle. So, even though it is not real, still fear inside. Is it not? That's exactly what the point Krishna is making. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandobi arthakarinam deha evam dehadeyo bhava
yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Uddhava, body is not real. But just like you are feeling fear from so many things which are not real, in the same way, body which is not real is capable of creating that fear inside you. Dehadeyo vajo evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. And for example, whatever we may talk about, the ghost or the frightening objects in this world, we have not seen them, any of them, isn't it? And we could never confirm that we have seen a ghost. We can't say that we have really seen the ghost, but we have only heard about them in the dreams or in the movie or in the darkness. We say we have seen them in the dark while we were walking. We say we have seen them. So, but still, there's a lot of interesting things about this. What Krishna is saying there, you have to study the mental patients who are suffering in their mind, some of the mental diseases, and the treatment, what the doctors offer for those. And finally, the doctor himself become mental. All these things goes on here, in this world. The patient is mental. Doctor is treating the patient. Afterwards, doctor becomes mental. It has happened in many instances. Doctor himself became affected by the mind of the patient's mind, with the patient's mind. So, asandobi arthakaryana, that is an important word there. Even though it's not real, that fear is there. The fear is there. And it will continuously frighten you throughout the life. Dehadeyo bhavam. Dehadeyo bhavam means that this body is capable of doing that. Right from the birth till you leave this world, this is capable of doing that. Not only the body, the mind also in the same way. So that is why those who are realized on the platform of the soul, if you talk to them about the mind, they will say, show me the mind, where is this thing called mind? Let me see. It is giving trouble to everybody. And that is why we require this psychiatrist. Then we have people called counselors, isn't it, who are counseling you about things. And we remember when we spoke about the marriage, there are marriage counselors, right? How to make your marriage work. They'll give you the advice. And some people have made it as a profession, this. It's all recognized now in the society, accepted in the society. What did Krishna has to say about all these things which we spoke a few days ago? As far as Krishna is concerned, that this thing called marriage and all, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, don't worry about it. That is Krishna's explanation to marriage. You've seen that before, we talked about it. When we spoke about earlier, that this whole relationship itself is like that. There is no other explanation to that. It is not written anywhere, all marriages have to work. It's not written anywhere. And it will not work also, because of the nature of the individual. Because we are individuals, everybody has their prarabdham and their vasana. So, to expect that another person who will have a similar vasana and prarabdham is very difficult to get that. So therefore, marriages is difficult always to work. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you don't have to feel so concerned about it. That is Krishna's point. So here, but how does the modern science look at it? Modern science, everything we can do it if there is proper counseling, they say. Counseling is their solution to the problem. But Shastram says, counseling is not going to work. I know people who are making this business very well, this marriage counseling business. And they're making a living out of it, £50 for an hour. Counseling, I believe. Their own marriage didn't work. And they're advising others how to make the marriage work, I believe.
What can you do? But patient who is going to see them, they are not worried. Their marriage is not working. So he has no time to think that the other person's one of those persons who has married 3 or 4 times his marriage didn't work. And he is doing this marriage counseling now. What do you think? This is the world we are living in. Such a joke. Whole thing is a joke. Krishna is saying here, Chaya pratyakvaya vasam asandovi arthagarinam. Arthagarinam. That evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya mrtido bhayam. In all these cases, best thing is to accept what Krishna says. Better not to look into the world too much. The world will only get you into trouble. Because if you go after this world, you will think that they've got big boards, big qualifications, and they put it outside. They charge you £100 an hour or whatever it is, and they welcome you with a good shake hand, asking you how are you, and you will feel that they are there to solve your problem. They are not there to solve your problem. They can't solve your problem. Your problem is your problem, and they've got their own problems. So that's why they are kept the places open that way. And these are the people who are preaching Krishna consciousness also. Adding insult to the injury. These very people who have doing all these things, they are preaching Krishna consciousness as well. If this is the Krishna consciousness they are offering to the world, heaven help us. That's all. Chaya pratyahoya vasam asandobi arthagarinam. This one statement from Krishna is sufficient to explain everything. If you have not understood this, you have not understood Krishna then. That's what it means. Krishna is saying to us very open and straight to us. Asandobi arthagarinam. This is what is on offer, Uddhava. If you want to get out, first accept what is reality first. Go after the reality, don't go after the shadow. World is a shadow, mind is a shadow, reality is the self, Atma is the self. Saying that, he's saying there that, so, he says there, these people, counselors, if you ask them where is the mind, they don't know. Or they're counseling. They're counseling to the mind, telling you what to do, but they also don't know where the mind is because it is coming from inside. Vedantam and Shastram is saying to us, Rishis are saying to us, mind is nothing but a force that's coming from the Chit Shakti. It's another force that's operating within the body. And if you ask, in reality, does it exist? No, it doesn't exist. But what is it then? We don't know. What is it? We don't know. And that is why it is called the Maya. That's why it's called the Maya. Why mind is included in the Maya? Because of this. Because of this. That's why it says here. Yeah. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandobi arthagarinam evam dehadeyo bhava yachandyamrityado bhayam. All this whole thing, what the mind is creating inside, the fear, anxiety, tension, depression, everything, it has no reality, Krishna is saying, because the very thing what it feel is creating is not real. Mind itself is not real. Vidhi maya manomayam, that itself is maya. Saying that, Krishna says here, that the proper example to this is direct example itself is the mind itself. He says there that how you can create within your own imagination through the mind, you can give reality to something through the power of the mind, using the mind. And through the power of imagination, you can give life to something. You know how Krishna explains that? Remember, when a thought wave comes inside, right? When a thought wave comes inside first, say you hate somebody. You have been hating someone. Initially somebody did something to you. You felt a hate towards that person. A second time same thing happened. You hated him more. So initially there was a little feeling of hate inside. It becomes thicker now, a strong line it has become. And then few times this happens, what happens? That hate has become so strong, it has become a samskaram inside. It has become a samskaram inside. So initially it was a chittavritti. Chittavritti got stronger and finally it has become a samskaram. And this samskaram, when it gets stronger in a person, it becomes vasana. It becomes vasana. Once it has become vasana, it has got life. It has got life in that. Once a life has come in, you can't destroy it. That vasana has to work through you, through your body. Only then it will go. So that is why, and who did all this? The mind. All happened inside the mind. So mind can create life to something. Even a thought wave that has come, say a hate, or similarly same thing with love also. You know, sometimes a boy loves a girl, or a girl loves a boy, right? And this loving relationship went on for some time. They couldn't live without seeing each other. So one day the parents said, no, you can't get married. The boy goes and gets committed suicide. He couldn't live without her. Why? It has got inside so strongly. Why? Initially it was a thought wave. The form he saw created some thought wave inside him. Again he saw her, the form created the thought wave stronger. It became stronger and stronger, it became a samskaram inside. And finally, when it has become a vasana, he couldn't live anymore without her. The father and mother says to him, you can't marry her because there is some problem, whatever that may be. They stopped. And he couldn't bear that. And he says, I'm going to give up my body. And he goes and kills himself. What do you think? What the mind is capable of doing? So, chaya pratyahayavasa asandobi arthakarinam, Krishna is saying there. So, this is where it's coming from. That even within, even these kind of imaginary forms what we create inside through our mind, even they will come out at some point in time and it gets a strong footing inside. When it gets a strong footing inside. So, so there is a famous story about Ramatirtha. It's a very interesting story. Ramatirtha, he lived in Lahore. And a highly learned person, very young age, realized the truth. And Swami Ramatirtha, they sent him to America. Because he was at that time, there was a lot of interest in the Vedantam. And them days you couldn't fly. It was 1920s, 30s, like that. You had to go by ship. Used to take months to get to America and stay there. So naturally when you go, you stay for a longer period of time. So, he says this, a lady came to see him. She was having some problem with her mind. So, somebody told her that you should go and see this Mahatma. He's a sannyasi, he's a great yogi. He was known for his yoga practices as well. So somebody suggested to this lady to go and see him. And so, she went to him and told him that one of your devotees have recommended to me to come and see you. I have come here for that purpose. So he asked her, what's the problem? She said to her that my husband died long ago. Many, many years ago he died. But I have been thinking about him all the time. I have been thinking about my husband all the time. And one day he came in front of me. She says, She started feeling that he was in front of her. And now what has happened is, he's not going away. And we used to fight each other a lot when he was there. Now he comes and I'm fighting with him. People's mind, where is it going to end? You can imagine how things can happen. This was her problem. In America she lives and she had this problem. So she tried all kinds of people. And she tried with the doctors and psychiatrists and counseling and everything she tried. It didn't work. She was having this problem. That she, after the husband died long ago, and she was thinking about him all the time. Thinking about him day and night. Eventually he came in front of her. And not only he came in front of her, they started fighting each other like the way they fought when they were together. So she says there that and things have, ever since he had come back into my life, things have become like in the past. We started fighting regularly. So when he was not there, I had the problem of he is not there, I was thinking like this. But when he comes back, it's also a problem. Imagine the condition, people's situation in this world. And she says to him that, When he was not there, when he was not there, I was thinking about him all the time. My husband is gone. What am I supposed to do? And I was feeling his absence very much. And I was suffering heavily. But I kept on thinking about him. Now he had come back. When he has come back, still the situation hasn't changed. Because our old lifestyle has come back now. Constantly we are fighting. We are together fighting. So both are, and due to either of them, she has got tension. Because of that. And even though it's not real, he has left. She is experiencing that. And others were saying that you are crazy. Other people were saying to her, you are crazy, isn't it? So she went up to the Swamiji and says to Swamiji, Swamiji, I am suffering this from this. Can you do anything for this, for me? He says to her. Swamiji says to her like this, I will tell you a medicine, he said. And after this you won't have this problem. And when you are completely cured of the problem, come back to me, he said. One day, come back to me. And then he told her, see that ring on your finger, take it out and give it to me. He said, give me that ring to me. Let this ring stay with me. Keep the ring with me. And once you are completely cured, your problem is over totally, then you can come back to me. I'll give you the ring, he says to her. So, after she handed over the ring, she felt that things are getting better. He has gone, my ring has gone, isn't it? Through the ring, she was connecting with the marriage. So, after 5 years or so, Ramachandra spent a long time in America. He said, she felt that, I feel now better. I don't feel that problem. He is dead. She has accepted that. He is dead now. So, and then she goes back to him. And he said, you can have the ring back. He kept the ring with him and handed it over back. She went. She took the ring and went back. Then after that, 5-6 years after that, some other place, the same lady came back to him again and says to him that, so Swamiji remembered that. Swamiji asked her, how do you feel now? She says, said, after some time, after I left you, I started getting bored again. So I started thinking about him. So he came back again. He says to her, this is how our mind is in this world. And this is the mind you are counseling to. Imagine, this is the mind you are counseling to. People are happy with all this kind of treatment. They go and they tell the counselor. And counselor writes down all the notes, when it happened, what medicine you took. You know, like the doctors, the way they do it. And they think about it and you think that the solution is coming. What solution is coming? Which solution? Who can give you the solution? Whole mind is nothing but a product of the chitshakti inside. So he says to him that, so again within her own mind, she built up this whole thing again about the husband, about the days she spent with him, all the fighting that happened between them. And and she could not get out of it. What it is indicating to us is that this material existence itself is our own creation through the body, through the mind. We create this material existence. And that becomes our swabhavam at the end. When we are at this stage now, it has become our swabhavam. Once it has become swabhavam, Krishna says is that it is difficult. Asandobhi arthakarinam. So even though it is not real, it will give you problems because it has become the swabhavam. Somehow, mind will create trouble and the body will also create trouble. With that, we will stop today. We will continue tomorrow. Chaya Pratyahaya Bhasa. If you remember all these verses and look at our own life, sometimes it will give you a relief from the misery what we go through. Chaya Pratyahaya Bhasa Asandobhi Arthadharinam Evam Dehadeyo Bhava Yachandya Mrityado Bhayam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.